Hello, everybody.
And the levels just got here. Before we started.
We have our first ever dominatrix. Don't get excited. She's not looking for new slaves. Kaz is the author of two books, Dreaming in the Dark and Sordid Secrets, which are available on Amazon. The link will be in the description box below the video. If you want to go down and follow her on Twitter as well, at KAZBXX. That link will be down there. So, it's going to be a very interesting journey today. Really appreciate Kaz coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
I've watched your previous work with James, got a lot of views, got a lot of interest, and a lot of absolutely insane stories and things that I didn't even know people had a penchant for that will blow your mind from the kinky department. We're going to get to that. All right, so before we start then getting heavy... Oh, yes. And Jen is here, of course, of Boomer and Jen. Her links are in the description box for her organic cotton clothing company. You should be familiar with my new co-host by now. Right. So before we get to the heavy stuff, then, we're going to go back and just look at what led to this adventure.
Yeah.
Sure. So where were you born?
I was born in Swindon.
Yes.
So just down the road. Well, not down the road, but an hour from here.
Yeah. Wiltshire, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
isn't that your neck of the woods?
Yes, Bradford-on-Avon. Mm-hmm. So, what was school like?
So school was like a horrible place. I would never want to go back to school and be a kid again if I had the option to. When I got to, because I'm quite short, you've probably noticed. So I was kind of a bit of a target for bullies when I was at school, and I was very quiet as well because my home life was a bit disruptive. I used to just escape into books and stuff, so I was quiet. So,
oh, sorry, I've got a terrible habit of tapping my feet. I've got to hold them.
We'll get you a pillow.
Careful, she'll spank me.
While I've interrupted, can I just grab your foot real quick and show it to the camera?
Yeah, go for it.
Look at those sneakers. Uh-huh. Aren't they so cool?
Yeah, so I should have had these on at school, really. Some damage. Yeah, so I used to get picked on at school, so that wasn't really much fun. So it kind of built up where I was getting sort of picked on all the time. And I'm just stuck to the microphone.
Should we do that? Yeah, you know.
Oh my God, I didn't want to break it or anything. Jeez, don't do this. Okay.
This is not S&M.
So it built up to, I had an incident where there was a girl that just grabbed me from behind and kicked me in the head, and that went to the police and they got involved, and it was all kind of very dramatic at the time.
For what reason?
When she did her police statement, she just said, oh, I had a bad day and I needed someone to take it out on. So I just happened to be there, sort of like walking home from school like this, because I was quite shy. And she's gone, oh, she's little and I'll pick on her. So, I got my head kicked in and got beaten up. She was kicking me in the head. And I remember being on the floor just thinking, like, just numb, really. And I wasn't even crying or anything. And then she said, I'm going to kick you in the head until you cry. And like, somehow I just managed to make myself cry. So I just managed to switch it on. God knows how. I guess it's like a survival technique, really.
Of course.
Did you have a history with her?
No, not at all. I did get bullied at school, but she wasn't part of that group or anything to do with it. So it was just random. And then funny enough, how all the bullying stopped, I was walking over, we had this like big bridge from one side of the school to the other. I was walking over the bridge and there was this girl called Lindsay. She went to me, I won't say my surname, she went, oi, you. And I'm like, oh God, sort of thing. So I go to walk away and she kind of sidesteps, grabs my little coat, I had this little green coat on, pulls it over my head so that I can't see that. And I'm like, shit, I can't see. So I'm like flailing during this, going, get off me. But hey, somehow I managed to just like punch her in the face and give her a black eye. So I'm like, oh, I heard a scream and I'm like, oh God, I'm in for it now. She's going to proper beat me up. But she just ran away screaming and crying. And I'm like, whoa, what just happened?
So did you have friends then, like a clique that you hung out with at school?
I did, but my little group of friends were like all the misfits and all the quite quiet, shy people. So, but I remember that morning after I hit the girl in the face by accident, I went up to Well, the morning was fine. I kept expecting to be called up and get into trouble. I kept thinking, oh, God, something's going to happen. Anyway, after lunch, we had afternoon registration, and I sat in my chair, and I had this tutor called Miss O, and she said, Karen, can you come up to the desk, please? I was like, shit, here it is. Here we go. I went up to the desk. She said, did you hit Lindsay this morning? And I went, yes, miss. And she went, good. Now go and sit down.
Good on her.
Did that set a precedent then for the bullies? They knew you were going to hit back now.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. I think once they thought, oh, she's not going to take this anymore, we best steer clear a little bit. So there was always like a little bit of a wary look. She's small, but she's a psycho. They didn't even know it was an accident.
Oh, well. Well done, you.
What was your relationship like with the lads at the school?
Till I was probably about 15, I just didn't have anything to do with any boys at all. I just found them really annoying and immature and childish. And then I got my first boyfriend. Yeah, I was about 15. I saw him at youth club and he looked, you know, Anton Deck?
Yes.
He looked a bit like, which one is it? Hang on. He looked a bit like Ant McPartlin. So I thought, oh yeah, he's really fit. I like him. So somehow we started dating. I think he came up to me and he said, he went, so do you want to go out with me or something then? And I went, yeah, okay then. And so he said, yeah, that was it. So I didn't really have much to do with anyone else at school because I'd decided by that point, you know, I'm doing my own thing. I'm happy just doing my own thing and not kind of getting involved with other people. It was funny because in the last year, they all started trying to befriend me. And I was just like, I was cold. I was like, nope, too late.
So what was your first sexual relationship like?
It was with my boyfriend, Mike.
Okay.
So I met him at youth club at school.
Okay.
Yeah. And it kind of got quite intense quite quickly, I think.
Was it fairly normal, would you say?
What's normal? Well, you're asking me if it was not. I would say yeah, but someone else might go, no, that's you know, that is totally kinky and freaky. So
kinky?
Yeah, definitely. So I used to read Cosmo magazine. Mm. And just 17, I think, Ms. So I've like just turned to like the sex tip straight away. Like, my boyfriend wants me to. So I was like reading like and Cosmo and my sister's magazines, you know, stuff like how to spice up your sex life. And I was like 15, 16. I'm reading like, how to spice up your sex life. Like, that sounds interesting. Okay, I'll go into Anne Summers and get some fluffy handcuffs. I probably wasn't even old enough to be in there, but I remember just like waltzing in, have a little look around. So I was a bit shocked when I got to the end and there's all like these massive dildos and things. And I'm like, what do you even do with that? That's an arm. What's that for? I was quite innocent, really. So I bought these little handcuffs and they were just like two bits of fluff stitched together with a chain in
the
middle.
They were rubbish, weren't they?
They're so rubbish. Yeah. I thought they were grey. I'm like, oh, this is so kinky. Let's try these tonight. So we were just like taking it in turns on putting them on each other and then being like, hee hee. There was like no BDSM there or anything. It was all kind of like keeping
it
innocent.
Then, was it? Because no. How old are you now?
God, 41.
Shut up.
I'm 42 next week.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
So I think I'm getting Alzheimer's a bit because I've got to that age where someone goes to you, how old are you? And I'm like, I've got to sit there and figure it out.
Yeah.
You look about 28.
I thought you were my age.
Oh, bless. Thank you. Well, I'll take that compliment.
What was your first job then?
Oh, what was my first job?
Tour guide.
Oh, first proper job.
Travel rep.
Yeah.
Well, what
yeah.
was your first job? Because I think that's quite interesting.
Very first job ever. When I was like a kid, I did some work for my dad, cleaning his shop. Then I did, what else did I do? My first paid job for someone other than my dad was, I think it was a little cleaning job after college. So I was cleaning offices and I loved it. It was brilliant. It was like a brilliant vibe there. There was like this big jolly lady who was a supervisor. There was this little Jamaican lady called Winnie, and she had this amazing roar on her. She was always like singing, going, hey Cass, we're gonna have the best evening today. and then as punishment one day, I was late for my shift, they put me on toilets.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, it's a bit grimy, but get on with it. Anyway, so you put this little sign outside to say these toilets are out of use, you can't come in now. And this office bloke, he's obviously working late, starts walking in. And I'm like, excuse me, toilets are closed. Can you use one of the other loos on the other floor? And he just ignores me, walks in, flops his little dinky out and starts going at the urinal. And I'm like, I think I'm like 16, 17 at this point. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. I just like lock myself in the loo. And like, if it was now, I'd be like, mate, it's not even worth getting that out. Put it away, you silly little boy. Come on, get rid of that. But I was like quite shocked. I just locked the door. I just wait till he's gone. Anyway, so I told my boss, I think they just sent a strongly worded letter around. I didn't see him again after that. So, so that was good. And then what did I do then? Just thinking. So I went to college. I was working in co-op and then travel care. And then from there, I thought, oh, I like this travel life. I should go and be a holiday rep. So that's when I went over to Cyprus and I spent about 9 months working there, I think. So, and you can imagine being an 18-year-old. I had like no life experience. So I wasn't very good at socializing or talking to people. I was still really shy. And then suddenly there's like all these people, guests, alcohol, everything. It was just madness. That
so you went up to a party lifestyle.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But it was kind of burning the candle at both ends, because you're 1 minute you're up at 6 a.m. because you've got a flight coming in and you've got to meet the guests and be all chirpy and be like, hey, welcome to Cyprus. Where's Samuel? How are you? And then like later on, you're guiding an excursion and then you're going out getting wrecked, just drinking like pictures of cocktails. You don't know what's in that stuff. You know, they're just, oh, you reps, are you? We'll fill this one up. So they're just like putting all the shots in. And before you know it, you know, you're waking up on a bus to Coral Bay going, shit, I've gone a bit far this time. How did I get in this scenario? So that was quite bad. And the worst thing was, is like three or four days later, I'd lost my phone. And yeah. One of the reps got my phone back to me, and on the phone, it was a text from this woman, and she went, I hope you've got your phone back by now. I made sure that I gave it to your friend. And anytime you want to sleep underneath our Jeep, you're completely welcome. And I'm just like, what?
So you passed out underneath a Jeep?
Well, I can only guess. Is she winding me up? Is she just going, I know, we'll have a bit of fun with this one. I don't know.
You can't remember.
I can't remember. That's bad, isn't it? That's just, that is so bad, because like I could have been anywhere. So yeah, I woke up and I thought, right, yeah, I'm going to have to reel it in and stop with the crazy drinking, because it's funny now.
What about Menorca? What was that like?
Menorca. Oh, it was horrible. It's
right.
Yeah.
I was expecting a different reaction
then. Yeah. Yeah, I love Cyprus. I think Cyprus is such a brilliant, brilliant place. So if you go to Menorca, I think there's a place called Callan for Cat, which is, if you're in your 18, 19, 20s, you want to be there because it's busy and, you know, bit of a party lifestyle and stuff. If you're that age, you don't want to go to Sonbu, which is where I was. So what happened was, the first week they send you out for training, I made all these really cool friends, which were still quite hard for me at the time. And I'm like, yay, I've got friends, this is great. And then like, yeah, now we're going to take you away from these people and put you on your own here in this resort. And so the really horrible supervisor there as well, like my family come out, she wouldn't let me see my family. My nan flew all the way out as well. And they were like, no, you can't see your nan. You have to work. And I'm like, I've done all my work. I've done all my reports. I've done all the admin. No. So in the end, I just thought, you know what? I come here because I thought, you know, I want to work hard and be a good rep.
But you want to have fun.
I'll enjoy myself. Yeah. I'm not enjoying it. What is the point? You know? So I'm like, right, I'm going to quit. And she said to me, I've read your letter. I don't accept your notice. I know you're capable of better than this. Anyway, see you in the morning. I was a bit shocked to start with. And I thought, geez, what the fuck just happened there? So I kind of like went away and thought, hang on, I'm not having this. So I thought to myself, what am I going to do to get out of this? Because there's no way I can stay. So I started writing this letter and I basically said, I am handing you my notice because I can't see a way past, you know, anything that's happened, and I can't see a way of moving forward that's going to be, you know, satisfactory for either of us. And I said, furthermore, if you, you know, keep refusing to give me back my passport. Unfortunately, I'm not going to have any more choice than to go to the English tabloids and tell them that you're you're holding me hostage and that you're detaining my passport. So
good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so like the next day in the office, it was just like, there's your passport. You need to give us 4 weeks' notice. So that was kind of the end of that one.
Did you finish 4 weeks?
Really? Yeah, I did the 4 weeks' notice.
I've been off on the next plane.
I don't think I had much of a choice. Whereas I suppose I could have like just done a runner in the night or something. Can you imagine?
So what happened when you went on a date and hitched a ride and you thought the guy had his wife in the vehicle?
Oh, God.
So I went to this wedding. I can't remember whose wedding. It was a random wedding. And I got chatting to this guy at the wedding. And everyone else was, like, really quite stuffy. And we just had a laugh. We were just taking the piss out of everything the whole time. And so he said, oh, do you fancy going out afterwards? So I think we went to this club called some cheesy name, like Rainbows or something like that. Had a few jars in there. And then we come out and we were like tipsy, but we weren't sort of stupid falling all over the place or anything. So we were like waiting for a taxi. So we went and sat on this little curb and this guy pulls up. You can just to set the scene, right? He's quite a big guy, probably like a few stone overweight, jet black hair, quite long and a little bit greasy looking, very cool sunshade, sports car. And he's got this beautiful woman, like sat next to him in the car. She's got long black hair, red lipstick, like this, very glam looking. And then he's like, oh, I'm rubbish at accents. Would you like a lift? Kind of, I'm not going to even try. And so we're sat on the road. No, it's fine. I'm just going to wait for the next taxi. Don't worry about it. And then this guy's like, it's okay. In Greece, we cannot let you just sit there by the road. We have to take you. We're being hospitable. But no, honestly, it's okay. It's okay. We like the fresh air anyway. So this guy is going on and on and on. And then his wife in the end is like, oh, come on, join us. It's okay. We take you home. It takes 5 minutes. So stupidly, we got in the guy's car. And then like, after about 2 minutes, he was going, oh, I am Christos. My father, also called Christos, I built my own house. He built his house before me. You know, you get the bit of story, they reel you in, don't they? Mm. You know, oh, that's nice. Yes, I'm very proud of my house. You should see it. So I was like, maybe one day.
Bit weird.
Yeah, I take you there. Oh, shit, it just gets worse. So we're like, no. Honestly, we don't want to put you out. You don't have to take. Yes, I take you there. We have a quick drink. It's okay. You come with us. So by this point, we're like, we just look at each other. We're like, oh, shit. So we're going to this guy's house then by the looks of it. So we get to his house and it's lovely little, like, villa. And I'm thinking, oh, do you know what? Actually, this isn't too bad. He's probably just nice. He's a bit lonely, maybe. He wants a bit of company. So we sit down. He's like, I'll make you a drink. I'll make you relaxed and all this kind of stuff. So Chris goes off into the kitchen with Christos. I'm sat here with this Russian lady. And I start trying to make conversation. Oh, well, how did you guys meet then? And she's like, oh, about an hour ago. And I'm like, huh?
What?
What? So it only turns out that she's a Russian prostitute and he's just picked her up and then got us in the car as well. And then I'm like, I just don't know how to react to this situation. So I was just kind of sat there and then this Chris comes back through and he says to me, we need to get out of here. We need to get out. And I'm like, what's wrong? What happened? He's like, he wants to swap. Bearing in mind, I'm like 18 years of age.
Well.
I've never swapped in my life. all done many things by that, you know. So we're like, shit. I started to panic. My heart was just racing. I'm like, is he going to axe murder us? Does he want to go on me or the other guy? I don't know what's going to happen. So my mind's just reeling. And then, so he's like, what should we do? Should we make a run for the door? I'm like, no, because it's all the way down the... I said, I think there's a window in the bathroom, right? So let's go out the bathroom. So he went, do you want to go first? And I'll keep him talking. Right, no, we've got to do this together. He might axe murder you if I leave you behind. So I just grabbed his arm, ran to the toilet, like... And you know, every second when you're in a hurry feels like an hour, doesn't it?
Yes.
You're like, come on, trying to get the window, come on. And it was probably like 4 or 5 seconds, but it felt... like about 10 minutes. So eventually this window comes up. I literally think I just threw myself for it head first. He followed me and we started rolling down the hill, picked ourselves up, and we just legged it. for about like 10 minutes until we couldn't run anymore and we're out of breath. And then we just collapsed into fits of giggles because we'd like made it out safely.
It's like out of a movie.
Yeah, it was just, it was nuts. And then by the time we got back, we were in Polis. We had to walk all the way from Polis to Paphos. So by the time we got to Paphos, it was bloody light.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we stopped for McDonald's as well. And normally, like, I just will not eat McDonald's because it's not my kind of thing. But I'm like, yeah, I'm so hungry. Let's go in there and get a burger.
Well, that's all that running, yeah.
Yeah. We were just like, ugh.
What happened when you took the lad to the hotel swimming pool?
Yeah, so we had this rule. When you go, when you become a holiday rep, they give you all these rules of like what you can do, what you're not allowed to do. So one of the rules was like, I think it was saying like you can't sleep with your own guests, right? Because obviously that's a conflict of interest, isn't it? Mm. But they said that you can sleep with other people's guests. So people used to, so like GMC people would sleep with Thompson's
so
guests.
So that was the loophole?
Yeah. Basically, that was, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, really, to be professional, you shouldn't be sleeping with anyone's guests, but it was kind of like...
Well, there was a loophole at least.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And people just, yeah. So what happened was, is like, you'd end up hanging out with other people's guests that you'd get chatting to in the nightclub. And you go, oh, the first thing you'd always say to them, you go, who are you holidaying with then? And if they said, like, some world, you'd go, oh, well, I hope you have a lovely evening. And if they said Thompson's, you'd be like, oh, okay, great, we can talk. So I got chatting to this this guy, and he was like, oh, do you know anywhere cool to go after this? And I'm like, I think I was a bit drunk. I said, yeah, I know all the great places to go. Just follow me. Do you fancy a swim? And so I took him to this like hotel. It wasn't one of my hotels. Again, that would be foolish. It was one of the other tour companies, but we kind of sort of knew all the hotels. And so, there was this gorgeous swimming pool there with LEDs. So we just went and had a swim in this pool. We were like giggling. Like,
naked?
I think we probably were, or like at least like very
skinny dipping,
scantily, yeah, yeah. And we were like just giggling, like we were very, very naughty and stuff. And then we decided to go inside and get a little bit, you know, a little bit naughty. And I think we're having a snog or something. And then basically, we heard this guy with a trolley. It was like the waiting staff setting up all the dining tables for the next day. And we were like, shit. And I think I'm a rep. If I get caught in this hotel, but even though it's not one of my hotels, I'm still going to be in massive shit. I'm like, state of undress, soaking wet. So I'm like, I just grabbed this, I'm like, under the tablecloth. So yeah, it was a bit like this actually. Yeah. It's like a big round dining table with a tablecloth nearly to the floor. So we're like under the tablecloth and we'll just like, put my hand over his mouth as well. We try not to giggle because he's like quite drunk and giggling. And then like, when this, we heard the wheels just going and just moving away. We're like, right, let's make, you know, make a run for it now. We just legged it out of this hotel. So that's another one I got away with.
Wow. Well done.
So what did you do when you came back from all this holiday tourism stuff?
Well, sorry, can I just have a sip of
water?
Yeah,
help yourself.
But it's got a little bit dry.
If you would like
the pressure under the lights.
Check Kazi's books out. They are Dreaming in the Dark and the Sordid Secrets. If you want to go on her Twitter, she is at Kaz, KAZBXX.
That's me. So, yeah, after uni, the first thing I did, wow. I thought, well...
Sorry, it says Legoland on here, sorry.
So I just jumped ahead like about four years there, didn't I?
Because where were we there? Yeah. Mallorca was awful.
Thames Water was so, one of
yeah, that was it, yeah. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Left uni, Legoland.
Yeah.
I love Legoland.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing.
I was there the other week with my definitely nephews, not my own. Not
such
like a
cool place. So, but yeah, I think I worked, when's, yeah, that was before, well, that was after uni. So before uni, I worked in Thames Water and my job was literally, like they'd phone up and I go, can I put you through to sewage or leakage? And that literally it. I had no like responsibility or power to solve anything or do anything else. So, and they call up and they go, oh, I've had this problem for 2 weeks now and you've not done anything about it. And I'm like, I didn't even know about your problem. So I couldn't handle it. And then what I found myself doing, I'd keep like drinking water just so I could like go to the loo and have like a little breather from people like shouting in my ear. But the thing is they clocked onto that. you've got a door system, you have to clock in and out every time you go for a toilet break. And that, we've noticed you're taking rather a lot of toilet breaks and we're not satisfied with the amount of breaks you're having for the loo. And I just thought, I can't do this. It's, yeah. So I thought, yeah, I can't see me working at Thames Water forever. So I started applying to unis then. And I went through the clearing process. And I think my choices were like Bournemouth, Southampton, I think Portsmouth as well. I'm glad I didn't go there. Was it Portsmouth? Somewhere like that. So I got into Southampton Institute. And yeah, that was like 3 years of massive amounts of, I'm not going to use the word growing up very loosely.
What did you study, sorry?
Media writing.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It was a really, really awesome course. And we had like a student radio station and stuff. So I used to have a little playlist show and go, yes, this is Cares with, we've got a Coldplay next. And then, I did like a little, what do you call it? Like a dance show as well on a Friday evening before the club, because we did a club as well, club night.
So what, like on the podium there?
No. This was, we had like a refectory.
I thought you meant you were dancing there.
No. I was doing like a student radio show.
Yes, no, yeah. But I thought you said, and a dance thing. I thought, you were doing podium dancing.
We promoted
or something.
A dance club as well.
Oh, a dance
debauchery.
Night. Okay, right.
Yeah. Debauchery.
Yeah, debauchery.
Debauchery.
Yeah.
Funny
so, yeah. So we.
Did they have a dress code?
Yeah, they did. Fluffies, hot pants, lots of glowing stuff as well. So I remember people went through a phase of like having all their face painted up and stuff as well, which at the time I thought was awesome. But yeah, it's a bit sad. So, I want my face done too. Yeah. So, we used to promote the club on the radio show then. We'd be like, right. Come down tonight and we'll give you some free stuff. And, you know, I used to get some kind of everyone was a DJ back then as well. Everyone was like, oh, listen to my mix. So like wherever you went, there's a mixtape. So I'd like play those. I'd get the DJs in on the radio station as well. So it was easy for me because I'd just go, oh, we've got so-and-so playing. And then I'd just kind of like sit there with my books or whatever and then just make the occasional comment. So
handy.
Where do we get to?
So now you're at uni.
Yes.
So yeah. Did you have a goal for what you're going to do when you finished uni?
Yeah, I wanted to get into media, but it was my dream to work for the BBC. So I thought, that's going to be my sole focus. I'm just going to basically harass them until they give in. So, because I'd watched a few TV programmes and had a few talks. I heard that was just the thing to do. If you like harass them and wear them down, eventually they give you a job. So after uni, I worked at Legoland. And I found myself like one afternoon just like putting a potato on a plate again, putting a bit of cheese on top and here's your potatoes!
Welcome to Legoland!
No, thank you. Just, yeah.
Did you have to be really enthusiastic to work there?
Well, no, not really.
Really?
I just did that to kind of make the day go a bit better. I think it was because of my rep training. They'd kind of taught you to be that way. So I was probably like, I'd go in and probably annoy everyone because I'd be like, morning, how is everyone? We're going to have a great day, aren't we? And they'd be like, they'd be hungover from the night before because they were about 16, 17. Yeah. It's like no conversation at all or anything. So.
Did they monitor your pee breaks at Legoland?
No, they were pretty cool about that.
Thank goodness.
I said, this
well
is
done,
the
Legoland.
No pee monitoring. Yeah, I don't know. I just, after a while, you know, there's only so many potatoes you can put on plates and before you start going, I think I need to actually, you know, apply myself and do something a little bit more challenging, you know, maybe a bit cheese on top too. That's when I just started full out harassing the BBC, sending them letters, applications day after day, even stuff I wasn't suitable for, but I thought, why not? Let's just get an interview. It's good practice, isn't it? So there's a really good tip that I learned when I was younger is never say no to anything, even if you don't know what you're doing. Say yes and then figure out how to do it. So I was kind of going on that philosophy. And then I got really, really lucky because my cousin's husband at the time was working at the BBC. So they introduced me to like the temping. They had this in-house temping scheme. So I started off doing little bits of temping like across like in TV centre as a PA and team assistant. So that gave me some experience of working at the BBC. and just learning how they work and do things. And then, like, from doing that, and kind of, they always like to employ people that have already done stuff with them already. So that gave me a little bit of a foot up then. I just got really lucky, to be honest. And I wore them down a bit. And so they gave me a job. And I was, where was I working? First one was in, just down the road in Caversham in Reading. So I was working for BBC Five Live. Just logging trails and stuff. So the great thing about working at the BBC is that you can go on loads and loads of training courses and really build up your CV. So I think I did some work experience on CBeebies, which is a bit different. I think it's, was it something, one of the live chat, BBC Live, something like that. So just loads of different places. So it was great experience just going round. And like one day would be, you'd be a runner on the CB set and they'd send you out going, right, you've got to go and collect all these random items for our next segment. So that was kind of fun. And then another day you could be sat in the radio station just kind of like collecting notes and helping them, you know, to get their schedule on show and everything.
Did you meet any celebrities?
I don't think so. No. Anyone really major at the BBC. And I'm sure we like probably spotted people from afar walking in all the time. I tried to get on some of the, because we used to get freebies and stuff, so I was always trying to get onto some of the shows in the audience and that, and I managed to get, wait for it, National Lottery Live!
Wow!
So I took my mum, and we were like, oh, this is going to be so good, we're going to watch the lottery, we're going to watch the balls go, and we got there, and we were like, wait about like that. About an hour for it to just start, and we were like so bored. And then it began, and literally, like on TV, it seemed like a much bigger thing because I think they drag it out and everything, don't they? It was literally, I think they press the buttons and ball spin, then they go, thanks for coming, everyone, bye. It's like we just travelled across London to see this. So, fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, it was a cool place.
So you end up doing acid then with Jay?
We did, yeah. In fact, I think the first time I actually met him, we ended up doing acid. Really? We went to a friend, it was just going to be a friend's civilized barbecue. That's just how it starts sometimes, isn't it? We went to a friend's barbecue and her mum and dad were there. They were like, yeah, you can have a little party, Kelly, it's fine. Would you like to take some tea out to your little friends and some biscuits? And so it was all quite civilized. And then someone just turned up, I don't know who, with this acid. He was like, so has anyone here ever done acid before? And we were all just looking blankly. No. What's it like then? Is it good? Yeah, it's all right. What he didn't say is like you go on a trip for 8 hours and you can't escape. Failed to miss that bit out. So that was the first time. Yeah, I think like the first 2 hours was fine.
What was the first effect you felt?
Just definitely going a little bit woo, like a little bit. I feel the air literally becomes more statically charged, doesn't it? And just, it's weird. It's those minor distortions. And you think, am I really feeling this? Am I really? Would you kind of say it's that not sureness to start with, isn't
it? Yeah, because in Arizona, I did it where it's hot. Yeah, the air definitely, it's warm, isn't it? And you're feeling it. And it's like almost like you're in hot watery. It's like half water, half air kind of thing. And then the plants will all start. Cactus.
Oh, yeah, they breathe.
Cactus, you can see them breathe. Yeah. You can see everything breathing. Yeah, and you just tuned into things that you couldn't see previously.
Because I've never actually done acid.
You've never done it?
Mm-mm. I want to do it now.
There's a dark side.
She's just joking, kids.
There's a dark
side. This is a drugs education channel.
That's stroking stuff, isn't it? Like, everything, all the textures as well.
Yeah, but it gets more and more intense,
so
doesn't it?
So intense, yeah.
Until it gets so intense, you regret
doing it. You're like...
Yeah, maybe not.
Kids, this is why you don't want to do it. You want it to stop. It's just, so...
What was the dark side of it that you experienced? Any negative visuals?
Probably, I'd say like the second time I did it was probably the side had a bit of negativity. It still started off fun and... my boyfriend kept turning into, is it McCavity the cat from Cats?
Wow.
And because I've always got cats and I'm a big cat fan. So he had these little freckles and whiskers. Then he had like this little, I'm imagining this is my crazy head, not actually happening. Then he's got like this hat on with like corkscrews and I'm imagining like some
like
kind
an
of
Australian.
Mad, like an Australian, yeah. So, and then he's going to me, is there anyone else here at this party? And I'm like, hang on, I thought it was our house. What? We're at a party. So this stuff is really strong, you know, because I'm sort of doubting myself now. I'm going, is it winding me up? So we then start walking around the house looking to see if anyone else is in our house because we think it's a party. And then, like, we thought, it's getting a bit tense here. Let's go out for a walk and just clear our heads. So that really helped. Went outside and we went and led in the flats, which is this kind of patch of grass. It's good to be in nature, isn't it? When you're, if you find yourself stupidly in that situation, it's good to connect with nature and just feel safe. So we were looking at the stars and I could just see all these spaceships in the sky and I'm like, wow. So maybe like when you do this stuff, you're connecting with what's really out there. And maybe we can't normally see this kind of stuff. And then the next day you think, what a twat, don't you? You're like, what was I on about? So I think the dark side of that would be just the sheer paranoia and just the overwhelmingness. And I wish I hadn't done it. It's horrible.
Yeah, the calm so down horrible. And everything. Yeah.
So you then moved into a flat in East London with him, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So that's when it started to get a little bit... So I started working on... I was working on TVX, I think Sport Babes Triple X. So you're looking blank. So basically it's a TV show and you have all these different girls on a bed and then you pick up your phone and you're like, hey, ring me.
Like,
and then they have
station.
To, yeah, that's it. And so they right. have to call into, they have to, they can call into the show if they want and speak to someone. So I was doing that. And then I was doing photo shoots like modelling, panty fetish, all kinds of different things. So I was quite into, well, I'm actually kind of getting somewhere here. And it was quite good money. So I'd left the BBC by this point to do this full time. So
how did you find that job opportunity? Where did it come from?
I was already doing a little bit of modelling on the side, basically. So I had a couple of things come at me at once. I went to like an adult networking party. So I met loads of people there, but also there was this agent called Tim, and he used to work directly with the sport. So he saw me on this website called Netmodel, basically said, we've got some vacancies that we want to fill. Do you want to come and do it? And I'm like, shit. Okay, I'll try it. So that's how I can't believe, like, cause I know how shy I was back then. I can't believe that I even ended up going on that show, but. Yes, that's how that...
Once you got through the pain barrier of your shyness, did you find it a different level then, psychologically? Did you just embrace it?
So what do you mean by...
So like, okay, so you said you were shy.
Yeah.
So the first time you do something like that, it must have been quite intimidating.
Gotcha, yeah.
Could you take us through that?
Yeah.
And what was going through your mind, how it felt, and then how you toughened up?
Yeah.
To feel comfortable.
Yeah, I think it's just a feeling the whole time of like, oh my God, what the hell have you done? You're so out of your depth. You haven't got a clue. So it's kind of like on one shoulder, you've got that little horrible demon that's going, you're rubbish, you're going to mess it all up. And then on the other shoulder, they're going, don't listen to them, they're full of shit. They tell you bad stuff all the time. Does it ever happen? No. So it's kind of listening to those different voices and trying to tune that little bratty one out and go, get away from me. And so like even like the producer said to me on my first night, I think I was on Live Triple X and all the girls were being all saucy, like, ooh, like that. And I was just like on the phone, hi. And she said,
hold on, let's set the stage. You're all on a bed, are you, with a phone or something?
Yeah.
In your pants.
Dressed scantily, I imagine. Yeah. On a bed.
In your pants.
How many women are on the bed?
I think there's three of us that night.
And people call into this show.
Yeah.
And what did they say to you?
It was quite funny because I had a couple of ones that they were just like knocking one out quite clearly on the phone when they're talking. Oh, I like what you're wearing. Then I had some guy call me up and he just started talking to me about art galleries and his favourite paintings. And I didn't have a clue about any of that kind of stuff, but I just sort of humoured him and asked him questions and
keep
so
him busy.
On. Yeah. And then the producer went to me, Kaz, you look like you're on the phone to your mum. Can you just try and be sexier, please? So, yeah, I think it was just a case of fake it till you make it, really. Just try and copy what they were doing.
Did you get any horrible calls?
Probably not on the channels, no. No, I think they were used to, like, it was mainly regulars and people that would phone in, or people a bit kind of, they'd had a few drinks, and they were like, oh, we're going to call in the station kind of thing. So, I mean, the only bad one I had was on webcam, which was a bit upsetting. just had this like horrible dirty bastard, because they can email you and ask you for like role play scenarios and fetishes. So they might say, for example, right, so I want to come on the webcam and I'll already be dressed up, and then you tell me I'm a dirty little boy and do this to me. So you're like, yeah, fine. This guy, he messaged me. It was like, well, I want you to pretend to be like my 5-year-old daughter.
Oh,
and that I'm going to rape you. And I'm like, so I'm like, you're a disgusting person. I'm going to call the police. So I just reported him to site immediately, and his account was gone then. So I think, I think they got rid of him, and I don't know if they called the police or not. Hopefully they did. But generally it's fine.
So doing this stuff then on the bed.
Yeah.
Did you just grow more confident over time at it?
Yeah, I would say so. It was a case of time. And then there'd be like good days and bad days as well. So if I had a bad day at home, it was a lot harder to then go in and put on the smiley face. But once you've been doing it a while, it just becomes second nature, really.
Is the pay pretty good? Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's as good now, because I haven't done the channels in years. But back then, I think it used to be something like about 150 quid for 4 hours, which isn't amazing, but it's if you're doing that regularly and then people are seeing you on the TV, so you're getting kind of extra money as well, because it's brand awareness and everything, isn't it? So it was a good little extra stream of revenue.
And was your bloke okay with you doing this?
The guy then, he liked it. He liked the fact that I was doing that. To be honest, he was too much that way though, because he was a bit of a porn addict. So he'd say, just make some content, or I'd go and make some content. And then he'd be editing it, but he wouldn't actually be editing it. I'd walk in the room, he'd just be knocking one out, watching it. But for about 4 or 5 hours, I'd go in and go, well, you're obviously a bit busy. I'll come back in. I'll go and make a cup of tea. So I'd go up to the kitchen, make a cup of tea. I'd go upstairs, do something. I'd go back 2 hours. He's still sat in the same position doing the same thing. I'm like, fuck's sake, you're going to edit this. I want it to go up tonight.
And what were the girls like you worked with? Were they nice?
Bit of a mix, really. Bit of a mix. Some of them, I think, because I think that's the problem in the adult industry. I think sometimes people get so desensitized to the environment, and I think there's often, like, I never got this because I never wanted to be the loudest person in the room, but I think they all wanted to be the most extreme porn star and all like the wackiest and everything, so I kind of didn't want to get caught up in that, because it's a very slippery route, isn't it? You know, before you know it, some of those girls are doing like double anal and stuff, and that wasn't going to be a route for me at all, because fair play to those who do.
Viewers are watching right now, check out the interview we did with Samantha Brown, who's exposing all the horror of what she went through, and like she was talking and said exactly the scenes that you said, and the women are taking painkillers and the men are injecting things in the dick.
Oh, I saw this one, yeah. She had just had an awful, awful experience, didn't she?
Yeah.
Poor girl. It's just horrendous. And it sounds like she fell in with the wrong people. I mean, because for me, mostly, my experience, although there's been ups and downs, I've found that the industry's helped me. It's grown my confidence. And I've learned so much about myself and other people and the psychology of not just kink and fetishes, but of how people, what makes them tick, basically, which I'm absolutely fascinated in.
We're going to get to. So Jay started to hammer the drugs and become psychotic, did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So I think he just messed his brain up completely.
Mm. What drugs were he on?
It started out as like pills and stuff like that, and then he was doing copious amounts of speed. Then he started ordering just all these random, you know, at the time they had like research chemicals and stuff, so he was taking loads of those.
What, like MCAT, is it?
Yeah, but loads of variations of that, basically. Like anything he'd get his hands on, he'd take. If there was a pile of soot on the floor and you told him it would give him a nice trip, he'd take it. It was that bad. So, he just started to lose his mind a little bit, got really controlling, started gaslighting me. So something would happen and then I'd hear a completely different version of events coming out of his mouth. But you start, when that's like quite insidious and every day, you think, am I remembering it wrong? Is it me? You know, and so you start to sort of almost semi-believe it, even though I knew there wasn't something right there.
Mm. So how did that end?
How did it end? It ended with me just asking him to leave, basically. And he wouldn't leave. So I went to sleep on my friend's sofa, well, in her house for a few days, and I was sharing her bed. And then she moved this random guy in that she met at a party. He was married. And they just come home with her and moved into it. It was such a weird scenario. So I was then relegated to the sofa. She was like, well, I've got Woody here now, so you're going to have to sleep on the sofa. So I was sleeping on this sofa, and she was like getting me to be a babysitter to her three kids. They're lovely kids, really sweet. I didn't mind that at all, but it was just such a weird environment. I'm like, hang on, wait there. I'm sat here sleeping on a sofa from, well, I don't know, I'm sure she had a lovely sofa. And, you know, he's like lounging in the three bed in Walsall, like having a great time, probably high as a kite, eating all my food. And I just thought, this can't keep going on. So I just said, look, can you move out? So we come up with all these different scenarios. Like, oh, I know, I could go on benefits and pay you some rent. And I'm like, no, you couldn't. You need to go. And so I called his mum. She just wasn't interested. I think she was getting a bit nervous, sweating, thinking, oh my God, shit, she's got to send him back to me. So she was going, I think you're being very unfair on Jay. I think you need to give him more time. And I'm like, he's had 2 weeks. I mean, he only owns, like, apart from all the hoarded crap in the garage, which is rubbish, he probably only owns like a small box full of stuff. He doesn't need more time. So in the end, I called up his dad, who's like a devoutly religious Christian, born again Christian. And I just said, he's out of control. I think he needs his father figure back in his life to just give him a little bit of stability. So his dad come and got him. Thank God. took him away. And I think it gave him the bit of stability in his life. I mean, it's probably like from his point of view, he probably thought it was a bitch and it was an evil thing to do. But I think it gave him back a little bit of stability.
Definitely agree.
Because he then did actually get a job, and then, which he hadn't done in 8 years, and a place to live. So yeah, like, there's something called tough love, isn't there? And if you what I did, I enabled him, I allowed him to live that lifestyle by putting up with it. So it was actually much kinder when I just said go.
Because you guys had lived on the Benefits Britain Street at one point, hadn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
What was that story?
Yeah. So he had this awful red Postman Pat van, and so there was always a problem with the battery. So it was quite embarrassing. We'd go to someone's house, like my sister, and she always had these nice cream carpets and a cream settee. And he'd go, oh, I've just got to charge the battery. So we get this nasty, big, dirty battery out the back of the van, plonk it on her side, like traipse oil everywhere, and charge the battery. So we couldn't go anywhere without this bloody battery coming and being charged. So, it was a mixed blessing, really, because one day he just wrote his, well, he told me he wrote the van off. I don't know if, because he kept sort of taking it out without putting insurance on it. So I don't know if someone just seized the car again, or if he genuinely did have a bit of a shunt. But all of a sudden, this Postman Pat van was gone, and I was kind of almost like, yes! But also, oh God, that's a bit inconvenient now, because we have to move house. So it was a case of like, okay, what can we afford and afford a truck to, and to be able to take this crappy Peugeot we had. So we were reading out these little ads online, and he said, what about this Winston Green one? Winston Green, that sounds quite posh, doesn't it? Little did I know, I should have known by the price, really. We just turned up in like this kind of real urban area. There was like a mattress all stained outside, like next to the fence. There was like nappies in the road, and like literally we had no other options at the time. We were in such a pickle. We walked in, like the house itself was quite nice, but this street was just so ghetto and just like dirty and just crap everywhere. We were like, we'll take it.
So we have the cereal bowl.
Oh yeah, instance. So this is it's a little example of what my ex used to do. So I couldn't just go to bed and sleep, because something would always happen. I'd always have to get up or sort him out or put a plaster on him or dab his wounds or something. And this one day, right, for some reason I can't remember why, we had our bed down in the lounge area for a short time. It's weird, isn't it? I remember why now. So he got up out of bed, went to the kitchen, made this bowl of cereal, walked to the bed and just proceeded to just like drop it on my head. So I've got the clunk of the bowl hitting me on the head, but all this milk dribbling down my hair, my face. I've got Cheerios like in my hair as well and on my eyelashes. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you even up at this time? What are you doing now? So he wasn't apologetic at all because I don't know what he'd been on. He was obviously off his trolley. And I said, look, if you want cereal, just sit down, I'll make it. Anyway, you know how, like, you know, even if someone's a bit drunk, they can get, like, really persistent, like, they won't let you sit them down or do anything, will they? It was like that times 10. No, I'm fully capable of making cereal for myself. No, 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 no. Anyway, so eventually I relented, let him go off and make this bowl of cereal. He come back, drops it all over the bed. So now that I've got cereal on me, but it's all over the bloody quilt as well, milk everywhere. And then, like, this wasn't the last time. This happened, like, three times. So by this point, I was just going ballistic. So, and this was just, like, a standard sort of Tuesday morning in our house at the time. It was like, even if I went out, I'd be like, yeah, I'm getting out. I'm getting away from this mad house. But then you just didn't know what you're coming home to, you know.
This is the Benefits Britain house.
Yeah, this is the Benefits Britain
house. Can you explain to people what that means, Benefits Britain?
Yeah, so there was a TV show on, and it was about this street in Birmingham where every single person was on benefits. So obviously I was in this industry, I wasn't on benefits, but everyone else was. And they had this whole poverty porn thing on at the time, didn't they? So they used these poor people, because some of them were in situations they had no idea how to get out of. Like, I knew Whitey. She just lived next door to me. I knew Blackie. Yeah, she's a really, really nice lady. And a lot of these people, they didn't even, if they wanted an opportunity to get into work, they wouldn't know where to start, who to approach, you know, just people that have had no support or structure or guidance or anything in their lives. Yet the media kind of really demonized them and made them out all working class. Well, not even working class, benefits scum there, you know, like they do. And it was a disgusting show. I mean, I'll be honest, I cried when I watched it because I just thought, those people, they've never had a leg up and they've never had any help, and they're just making them out to be pieces of shit, basically. So I think White D did quite well for herself.
She went on there, didn't she? Big Brother.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? Yeah. So, yeah, really, really sweet lady. And the thing is, there was a lot of crime in that area, but, like, if you lived on that street, like I had a slave turn up one day.
It wasn't long until we got into this.
They always pop in, don't they? And he came up with this beautiful car he had. Like,
how did you end up getting a slave? You've gone from living.
Who was your first slave?
You're living with Jay.
Yeah.
And on Benefits Britain Street, and a slave just shows about the blue. How did the slave come about?
So, I was trying to, like, think of the quickest way to tell it, because all my stories are so convoluted. Mm. I was working on the
channels. We like long stories. Just take your time.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was working on the TV channels, and my agent, they decided to start paying him directly, basically, instead of me, to save tax. It was a tax, what do you call it? Tax thingy.
When you say they, you're saying that the viewers...
Babes. No, Sport Babes, the company who employed me.
The company?
Me. Yeah.
Paid your agent directly, instead of you directly.
Yeah, they've been paying me. All of a sudden, without my permission, they said, oh, something to do with, because he's a limited company, we'll pay it to him. Anyway, he never paid me, right? So then I had this other company, I think it was, what was it, Babe World or Babe Watch or one of those. Anyway, I started working with them, and they were a few weeks late to pay me as well, and I thought, I need to pay my rent. I can't do it like this. So around that time, webcam had kind of started to become quite a popular thing. So I thought, well, I'm going to have a go at this. And then I kind of realised quite quickly, hang on, I'm sat in my own lounge, wearing what the hell I want. I don't have to travel, I don't have to commute. I can just speak to these people via a webcam. If I don't like them, I can block them or kick them out the room if they're idiots. And, you know, you can earn more probably in 2 hours than I would in a whole evening. So I started doing that. So over time, you kind of start... You get to know your regulars, and they come back at the same time, and they go, oh yeah, we played last week, didn't we? So this week, what I thought we could do, or you might tell them to do something as well. So I started growing as a mistress online first, really, before I did real time. And then I had Jay, who he was just like a, so kinky and deviant, you could just ask him to do anything and he'd be like, yeah, I'll do that. me.
So are you saying you're growing as a webcam mistress?
Yeah.
This is all just online, not meeting people.
Yeah, so it was just online to start.
Gotcha. Jay got involved.
Gotcha. And he would get involved. So I'd do stuff to him sometimes. So we'd like to see spank someone. So he'd be like, yeah, I'll do it. So
you'd spank Jay?
I'd spank him, bent over getting a spanking. So it kind of...
Just with your hand or with instruments?
Well, yeah, to start with, it was a hand. Then I think a hairbrush.
An old slipper.
Yeah. Slippers are quite good, isn't it? You know,
I love it.
Do you know these little sea shoes? The little sea shoes.
Sea shoes?
Yeah, they're like little rubber soled shoes.
Oh, that you wear in the sea.
Brilliant for spanking.
What are sea shoes?
Yeah.
Like pumps?
Little rubber pumps you wear in the sea or in the swimming pool.
Okay.
Yeah. So you don't like stand on the rocks.
Right. You got any of those, James?
Any sea shoes? Oh, brilliant. What was your favourite instrument, bar sea shoes?
What to hit James?
To pommel his
backside with.
Backside.
Oh, well, we went down to B&Q, actually. Yeah. Oh,
not properly.
Is that your idea or his?
Yeah, my idea. Reason being, and this is a great tip to anyone out there wanting to get into it or even just have some fun at home. This stuff is really, really expensive. And at the time, I was on a really tight budget. So I thought we'd just pop down to B&Q, look at the home supplies, and as you do on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. So I think I found some like garden bamboo canes out there, for a cane. We'll start with some of those. I bought some length of chain, some rope, some of those little clips as well. And we just found like pretty much everything in there. So, you know, any household store, you can find loads of stuff. You know, like those brushes that you use for your back? Those are quite good as well.
For what?
You know, for like exfoliating your skin and stuff.
Using for what?
Well, just for kind of like scraping a little bit in the back for spanking. So I just had all this weird household stuff that I'd use in the beginning. And then when I started to see slaves, it was because I got to know them really well and I felt comfortable enough to meet them in the flesh. And then they started buying me bits of equipment then. So I had started to build up the serious kit, which was good.
Yeah. Do you have quite a big kit?
Yes.
Or do you have quite a big kit?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, most of it's my mum's garage.
So your mum knows and she's...
She does. She's absolutely fine. Yeah, I think she was a bit shocked last week though. I showed her this, I've got this new CBT ball press and...
Slow down. CBT ball press.
Done my research, cock ball torture.
That's it, yeah, that's it, yeah.
I was thinking of cognitive behavioural therapy. What is it? Cock ball torture.
Cock and ball torture.
Cock and ball torture. That's a genre, is it?
It's
huge,
yeah.
It's huge.
It's really popular.
So a CBT ball press.
Yeah.
So that's something that crushes balls.
It does, like you pop it all through. Close. It's kind of like this perspex thing. It's like you've got two squares, and then there's a screw that goes through it, and you can tighten it up once it's in.
It's like a vice.
Clear, but you can see through it. A see-through vice.
Yeah, so you can see through it, and then it's got a little button on the front. If you press the button, it's not sending an electric current through the balls. Then. So you can have some, you know, real fun with it. Because one minute they're like, yeah, it's fine. The next minute they go, oh, sorry, mistress, I'm sorry.
How tight do the...
Jen's gone.
How tight does the vice go around the balls?
Yeah, it goes pretty tight. It's like pancake is the word I'd use, probably.
A pancake?
Pancake, yeah.
Come on.
How flat? Say like that.
Probably about that flat, yeah.
You pancake someone's balls.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. But sometimes they...
And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, they love it, yeah.
They love it.
Sometimes the balls just
cause intense pain, because balls... I mean, if you're like... Yeah. If someone hits you in the balls, it's like you've been stabbed in the belly. You just double over.
So is that where the pain comes from?
A burning sensation rises and you just feel
Doesn't it make you feel sick?
You double over and you feel sick.
That sounds horrible.
It just rises and you're like, and it lasts for ages.
Does it?
So what's up with these people? Are they wired differently?
I think so.
They like that.
Yeah.
They do.
I think they just read the pain as pleasure.
Is it a lot of people in power?
Often, yeah. I think people like CEOs will be attracted to it. But then not as much these days. It used to be all people in power. And now there's such a, I think since 50 Shades as well, that's had a massive impact. And people are brainwashed so easily. You know, they say it's conspiracy, don't they? But it's, you know a lot about this, don't you? It's not conspiracy. People get brainwashed by what they see on the television.
Well, of course, it's getting worse, isn't it?
So. Yeah.
So someone who's getting his balls pancaked, are they just enjoying the pain or is there a sexual arousal component?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the pain is sexual. The fact that it hurts is getting them off for whatever reason.
Right.
What would you wear during these appointments?
Well, I'm quite into my PVC and corsets because I don't kind of like being, you know, collars up here and too stiff and formal because I like to move around a lot. But I like to be a little bit disciplinarian. So I kind of wear like a steel bone corset with PVC and like sometimes a little kind of meshy top underneath and a little PVC skirt. Of course, it's got to be stocking suspenders and heels or boots, really.
So, how did you... We're on the story of your first slave showing up out of the blue.
Yeah.
How did that first slave come about then? What was the story of that person?
I think we'd played online a little bit. I can't really remember now, but the thing that I do remember, he worked for one of these government ones where they're not supposed to tell you what they do. Oh. I don't know if that was true
MI5.
Or if it was something like that. Yeah. So, the thing is that when he first turned up, I got my days wrong because it was just after Christmas. And this was when I was living down in Surrey. So I was probably still in my 20s, fairly like irresponsible and stuff. And we'd just been partying a little bit and drinking. And then I thought, well, I've got my booking tomorrow, so it's fine. I'll have a good rest tonight. So when this guy turns up at the door, I'm in my dressing gown, looking like crap with my hair all over the place. And I'm like, hello? As if, like, you know, it's the postman or something to the door, and he's like, hello, Mistress Kess. And I'm like, who's this dude? I'm not expecting anyone today. And I must have looked blank because he said, I'm your sub so-and-so from, you know, the website. And I'm like, you're meant to be here on the 28th, aren't you? He went, yeah, it's the 28th, Mistress. So I'm like, oh, shit. So I just, like, flipped into role then and let's just roll with this. So
and you just slid right into
it. Well, you've taken me by surprise a little bit. Why don't you go and wait down the road in the cafe while I get ready? And so I thought this guy's just going to tell me to like F off because, you know, he just turned up. I'm going to stay. I don't look my best. And
so you can just instantly switch into your role.
I think under pressure, especially. Yeah. And I was under pressure in that moment and it just come to me to do that. And
you're such a nice, sweet person. And then I look at you now.
And you're a bitch.
Amazing.
I just flipped into the role and he just turned around. And he was like, oh, sorry, mistress, of course. Yes, take however long you need and just call me when you're ready. So he went off to the cafe and I'm like, oh, thank God I got away with that one. Because it could have so easily gone the other way and him going, well, you know, this isn't professional. I was expecting you to be ready. I'm in a hurry. But no, he was the sweetest guy. He was so lovely. And I think it helped that we'd sort of been on cam a little bit as well.
And what did he want?
So he had... I feel really bad telling you. Like, he had a really, really tiny little penis. So.
I was not expecting that.
What I really admire, though, he'd made his really tiny little penis into a fetish. So he liked to be humiliated. He liked to say, oh, you've got the most disgusting, useless little tiny dick, stuff like that. And he liked being hit on the willy as well, and hit on the arse with canes.
Canes?
Caned on the willy and the arse, and just humiliated, really.
What level of pain do you use on a caning like that? Do you, like, just find a limit with someone? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the person. But, I mean, if it's someone new to me, I always hold back. And the problem I have, I actually have slaves going, but you don't really cane that hard. And then I say, oh, really? Okay, let's try this again, shall we?
Is it a stress relief?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely an element of that, but I'm always holding back because I think, like, when you've got that when you're in that role where you're meant to be the, like, domination is basically about consent, isn't it? It's about one person is consenting to hand that power over to you. So it'd be a massive abuse of power to just do what you wanted and take it too far. So in the
Did you have a safe word?
Yeah, there's always a safe word, yeah.
What's a safe word?
Yeah, it depends. A lot of people use red. Sometimes you'll go, what do you want the safe word to be? Someone will go, oh, a haddock. Okay, fine. So, yeah.
Wow.
So what did you do? Did you dress him up? Is that, like, I'm imagining this is a long session.
Yeah.
Do you build up to caning his penis? Is he wearing something silly or what?
Silly, what, like a clown costume? Have you had that?
Well, yeah, some of them, not the clowns, no, some of them do like getting into costumes, like little panties, stockings, suspenders. Some of them like the whole, some like the sexy stuff, and some of them like just like the stuff that makes them feel stupid, like big pink frilly dresses, big bloomers down to the knees. But I don't think we even did any of that. It was just, I think I had him crawling around the floor, like oinking like a pig, being different barnyard animals to entertain me, and just crawling around and doing various different things. So yeah, I don't think, but the thing I remember, he kept saying to me that you want me to call him Fatty, and I struggled with that.
Was he quite a big guy?
He was massive. Yeah, but I can't call him Fatty, that's just too mean, isn't it? So I'm sure like some other girls would have loved that, and but yeah. So yeah, so he was my first client. He's really sweet.
And what kind of money does he pay for a session like that?
Do you know, I can't remember what I was charging back then, but yeah, probably around 150. I think it might have even been slightly less because I was new.
Taking a break from the S&M then.
Yeah.
You had one of the most beautiful moments in your life when your cat gave birth.
I did, yeah. Yeah, well, I had two cats give birth on me, and the first litter, only two survived because she died and we had to hand rear them. So we're feeding them every... So I've got my little tab stick now, and she's 14 and she sleeps on my head at night. She wraps her little claws in my hair. She's such a baby. My other cat was called Seven. I named her after Star Trek. What was her name? Seven. She was like an android. Did you ever see it?
No.
So we just got this cat, and before we had a chance to kind of get her spayed or anything, we realized she was pregnant. So she was getting close. In fact, I think that might have been why the bed was in the lounge, maybe, because I was worried. I wanted to keep an eye on her, and she, just one night she was acting all strange. So I got this cardboard box out, put loads of blankets in it to give her a little, because they want a nest, don't they, give her a little nest in place. So she just takes one look at the box and goes, nah, not happening. She jumps into my bed, and then she just starts giving birth on my bed, next to me. So it's just like, wow. So I'm like partly horrified, partly like, this is amazing. And all these like little baby kittens. I don't know, have you ever seen baby kittens?
No.
It's the weirdest thing. They come out in this like little kind of...
sack, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a little sack. They're all slimy and slippery. And as fast as they're coming out and she's licking all the stuff away to... so they can breathe and get out, another one's coming out, and there must have been like eight of them. So this one kitten, she's trying to just like get rid of, and at one point, like, she just abandons him. So I thought, I know I can't touch him because it'll get my scent on him, and then she won't want him. So I went and got cotton buds and just pulled the sack away from his face, and I just saw him take his little first breath and go like that. Bless him. Peeled it all away. But then, because he was the runt of the litter, she tried to pick him up and take him outside, and I'm like, nah, not having it, no. So I locked the cat flap, and then I just picked him up with a glove again, so I'm not touching, and I rubbed him on all of the kittens and then on her, and then I eventually, thank God, she accepted him.
Wow, so it
totally worked. But yeah, I was just like, God, I hope this works, this poor little thing. He was like this big, just looked like a mouse.
Were you there on your
so
own?
So cute. Well, my boyfriend was there, but yeah, I was on my own.
You managed to get arrested.
I don't know why I'm laughing you say that.
Yeah, I was very silly. Very silly. Yeah, so I went to a wedding, and I think I've been up like two nights following Jay around, trying to look after it. No excuse for getting arrested. I'm not trying to do that at all. I was very tired, drank too much, and But I think it was a case of mistaken identity, which is what kicked it all off, because me and my friends were dancing, and this big bouncer comes up to me and says, "You've got to leave." And I'm like, "Why?" "Because you're taking your top off." And I thought he was joking to start with. "What do you mean I'm taking my top off? I'm like, I was wearing a dress anyway, so that's impossible for one." "No, no, you've got to leave." So anyway, we left the club and we're like, "Oh, well, we'll just go back, you know, to her house for a drink." Anyway, I started having a bit of hassle at the cloakroom, and they wouldn't give me my bag back for some reason. I said, "Look, well, the thing is, I'm 150 miles from home. I need my bag. I need this, that. You know, I need my, it's got my phone, my money. I can't get home. So I need it." Anyway, so I went outside. This then went on with the main doorman. So just to put things into context, the first lad that brought me downstairs was a black fella. And then the guy outside was a white fella. And this one was really kind of snooty with me, this white guy. He was just like, just not very nice at all. So I tried to explain my situation. He was going, "Well, you're just going to have to come back Monday." So things started to get a little bit heated. Then at one point I held onto the rope for a minute. I just like fell over backwards, took the rope with me because I was quite drunk. And I'm like, "Oops, sorry." And that was it. Then their tone changed because they could see I was quite drunk. They were like, "You are scum, blah, blah, blah." And in the end, I managed to get my bag back. And I cannot remember for the life of me what he said, but I think it was along the lines of, "F off, you effing whore." So I just, like, the red mist came down. "What did you say?" So I just slapped him and walked off. Right, so we're like halfway up the road, and then suddenly I like get dragged back by the hair, smack into the ground. So I don't know, it feels like two blokes have grabbed me. I start fighting back. They're pulling me up, going, get up, I'm going, "You're hurting me, get off me, get off me." And there had been loads of people like laughing outside the club. So I thought, you know, maybe two revelers have seen something happen and they're trying to have a bit of, you know. So anyway, like, did that bit one of them. I was like, "Oh, it's disgusting." And then in the end, I realised these guys were bloody bouncers. Mm. Oh, shit. So anyway, they called the police. The police turned up, put me in handcuffs behind my back. I was in the car, got to the station. Then I just realised at one point I'm sat in this police station. I've got this like little black dress on. And then, like, I'm feeling a bit vulnerable. I've got my handcuffs on, hands behind my back. There's this really leery guy, and he just wants to have a fight with everything. He's like, you know, I think there's, like, some lockers in the corner. He's having a go at them, like, wanting to scrap those as well. You know, anything. And so, like, I think the policewoman sort of plucked that and moved me away. So they kind of put me in cells for the night. But it's, like, the weirdest, weirdest thing, because you ask for water and they ask you to stand back, don't they, as if you're gonna throw acid in their face or something. Well, I don't know what they think, but it's so bizarre. I don't know how you managed to do, like, you know, how long was it?
6 years.
Six years. I was in there one night, and the next day I came out, I felt like, you know those hostage films where they're like,
so you're in your like last night's clothing.
Yeah, that's it. And you see the light and you're like this blinking. I felt like that. God knows how you did 6 years.
Oh, you just adapt. You get used to it.
Good old walk of shame.
Crazy.
So were there any charges brought against that?
There was, yeah. I got a charge for the slap. Because they kept saying it was a punch, basically. And they tried to add on racist charges afterwards as well, which I went, no, that's why I went crying. I went, I'm not having that, that's not fair. I confess to what I did, but please don't add charges. That's why I went to Crown Court. Apparently, because I did break the rope, it's criminal damage, so I got charged with that as well. The other charge of ABH was dropped, well, hung jury anyway. So yeah, there was a few, but when I was in court, basically, the judge was just like, just shaking his head like this. And then he said, "Miss B, could you just come and stand up here a minute, please? I just want to check that you can see it. What do you call it? The thing, little box you stand at. Do you remember? I can't remember
in
the name.
In the courtroom?
Yeah. The desky thing, isn't it?
What is that called,
James? Yeah, what's
James?
It called?
Well, you stand in the courtroom.
An altar.
There's a word for it, isn't there?
The
dock.
That's it, yeah.
How do you not know that?
they don't use that in America. There's something else in America.
I should have known that.
Yeah. All your arrests.
Yeah, so we are. He said to me, can you come and stand at the docks? I just want to make sure you can see over it. How tall are you again? I said, 4'10". He was like, right. So I just got the whole feeling. He was like, you know, that they'd taken it a bit too far because they'd sort of pushed for it. They couldn't back down then.
That's what I was thinking. It was frivolous.
Yeah.
Waste of money, waste of resources.
It is, isn't it? Yeah,
go
yeah.
And
it
could grab have... a rapist instead of messing around
totally.
With you. Yeah, yeah.
And I did a really, really stupid thing. I'm not disputing that. I shouldn't have done it.
Who doesn't when they're drunk? Damage something or piss in public.
It was
or
silly.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of a waste of public resources,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
While you were going through all this, what was your life like?
It was pretty nasty. It was quite traumatic, really, because my dad had had an incident where he'd sort of actually died for 13 minutes at my mum's. Yeah, so we were at the 60th birthday party. He was up on the stage doing, I think it was The Night Have a Thousand Eyes by Billy Fury. So one minute he was a bit of an extrovert. So one minute he's up there on the stage doing all that. And I'm like, hey, go, Dad. And then he's like, comes to, I think it was the excitement, made his heart just stop.
Wow.
So, and then we were waiting like 13 minutes for the ambulance people to arrive, and they come with the old defib and like that. So my neighbour went, don't look, and she put her hand over my face. So this was all, I was going up and down because I was in Birmingham, travelling down to Swindon to see my dad, then going down to Kingston to the court, because they call you back for so many different things, don't they? Just back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. I just wanted it over and done with, to be honest. So yeah, it wasn't the best time. I really learnt my lesson not to slap bouncers, basically, or break ropes, even if accidentally.
And you ended up on antidepressants around this time.
Yeah, I did. Well, we'd sort of been taking them anyway, like for a while, but it got worse. I went back and said, what else can you do? Can you change these? Can I have some therapy or something? And I just think they never really worked for me, antidepressants. So I think it's all something that's in the mind. And maybe they work for other people, I don't know. But for me, I had to change myself and what was inside of me rather than just relying on antidepressants and things.
A lot of people just use them to mask root causes.
Totally.
But if you address the root causes, then hopefully you won't need them. I think there's just a massive overprescription because there's so much money being made.
Definitely. Big pharma cashing in, aren't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just resolving those traumas. And rather than doing the whole blame game of like, oh, well, this happened to me when I, you know, you think, okay, well, that did happen then. And I was treated like that then. But at some point, I've got to take responsibility and stop being a victim and go, well, okay, that affected me that way then. But now it's up to me to change who I am and get on with my life. So I think that was kind of like, back then I was just trying to do what you said and mask the problem with antidepressants. So I was too immature to realise that there were other options.
Yeah, we've all done it.
A word from our sponsor, Manscaped. This holiday season, I'm giving thanks to our friends at Manscaped. Do I tell my extended family that I have the Performage Package 4.0? From the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Not to mention, it includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer to tame my bush and score brownie points with the in-laws. Gift yourself Manscaped, or the man in your life who needs it. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With 20% off... plus free shipping with the code Shaun, SHAUN 20 at manscaped.com. For years, I've been using other shavers on my man parts, and those little beard trimmers tend to nick my skin and cause bleeding. Manscaped has remedied all of that. For the gifters out there, Manscaped, to seal the deal with two free gifts from in the Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers, and the Shed Travel Bag. Gifting Manscaped is the ultimate hack to become the family favourite. Manscaped has been busy and just launched their refined body wash and 2-in-1 shampoo plus conditioner. Both feature the Manscaped signature scent and will help unlock your confidence this year. Your boys and body will be oh so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash, shampoo and conditioner. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SHAUN20, SHAUN20, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SHAUN20 at manscaped.com. Be thankful this holiday season for the best gift of all from Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Yeah. So you suffered a break-in.
We did. Yeah, yeah. So Jay had gone out for the day. We had three, this is in James Turner Street, we had three stories. So I was on the top floor doing a webcam show with a slave. So God knows.
Like, when you say doing a webcam show with a slave, yeah. Slave on the other end or slave in the room?
Oh, so yeah, he was on the other end.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
So,
because you can't whip them through the computer.
No, but you can make them do things to themselves and humanize
pinching
themselves.
Balls,
and things
like that.
So I think
yeah. Pancake your balls.
Totally. I think he was hitting himself on the wheel.
No.
Yeah.
Rhubarb!
But just I think he was writing. I got him to get like a marker pen as well. He was writing
twat,
slut, whore, yeah, twat, things like that across his body, and putting his wife's lipstick on while she was out. Like,
brilliant.
What about his wife's clothes? Well, were you making him wear his wife's?
Sometimes they do. Yeah, they're like, I'm just looking into her knicker drawer. Which one shall I wear? And I'm like, this is so bad.
Would you pick them? Yeah.
And then do they just put them back at the end of the session?
That's the thing. Yeah, like there was one guy, and he,
not to be crude, but did he ejaculate on it?
This is it. Yeah, he had his little happy ending. And then he just put them back, and I'm like, you do get at some point she's going to go to the knicker drawer and be like,
why is your cum on my pants?
Exactly. Yeah, what the fuck is this, you know? Barney. So you probably got busted
nice
for that, I'm sure. Yeah.
So you were doing a webcam with a slave.
Yeah.
And a break-in occurred.
Yep. So I'm dressed in, I can't remember what I'm dressed in, but it's going to be something ridiculous. It's going to be like PVC or fishnet or whatever. So I just quickly threw some clothes on, and I'm like, I'm sure I'm imagining this. I'm sure, you know, there's no one down there. It's just my imagination. So I've been a bit stressed and stuff. And I had about, how many cats did I have? I had about six cats at the time, right? I don't know if I've mentioned Joe was a massive hoarder. Did I mention that?
Before,
so he would like get things back out the bin. So you chuck some stockings away or a broken radio and it comes straight back out. He'd hoard it. Anyway, so he had all this shit in his study on the second floor below me. So this guy came in for the window and I heard the rustling as he was falling all over this piles of like cutlery and plates and just rubbish that Jade left there. So that's the first thing I heard. Well, it's just the cats. And then I heard the cats just bolt downstairs in different directions. I'm like, yeah, something's not quite right here. So I just thought, I'm probably being paranoid. I'll just grab something just in case. So I looked around my room. Whips, no. Canes, no. Oh, I know. I had this big, like, pair of gold platform shoes with a heel on it like this and about this thick. So I just picked that up and I just crept slowly to the top of the stairs. And there's this, like, guy in a grey hoodie just, like, staring back at me like this, like, like that. And I'm like, we both just froze for a moment and just stared at each other, like... like in shock, and then I'm like, get out of my house! And it was again, it was one of those situations that could have gone like either way.
And what,
like,
did he do?
Luckily, turned around and legged him. I chased him with a gold
stiletto.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So yeah,
definitely put that one in the trailer.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, he ran out the house, and then I thought, well, I've gone this far now, let's carry on. All right. And don't come back again. Like, looking around, so I'm hard now. White D was sat there as well.
So had he got like, he just entered the door or he broke in? Or?
No, it was, he'd come up the back way and there was a study. So you go into the house, like from the back door. So you'd come in through the kitchen into like this sort of, because there was two lounges broken into two. There was like a lounge here, up the stairs, and there was a front room and a study. So he'd have come in. Yeah, no, hang on. He didn't come in through the back, did he? He would have come in through the study window, I think, because it was left open. So he must have somehow climbed up the draining pipe onto the thingy and through the window, fell over all this, like,
Jay's
week's
shit.
Worth of... We're doing you a favour, ironically, in the end. And, yeah, just... wished he'd never broken in, probably.
You didn't know him then?
I don't think so, no. No, I
he wasn't
really
a client
see.
Or...
Not to my knowledge, no.
Oh, good.
No, he actually looked like one of the neighbours, but I'm sure it couldn't have been, because they just weren't like that.
No.
So Jay just got crazy doing crocodile death rows in the bath.
Yeah.
Falling yeah. asleep with his face in his dinner. Oh, my goodness. He's passed out, knocked his head into the bidet.
Yeah. We had his mum there for a week. She said she was going to come and help me sort him out because I said he's off the rails. And then I thought, oh, thank God, finally getting some help with this because he's taking too many drugs and stuff. So, and then I've made us dinner. His mum sat there. And all of a sudden, he's just like this, like mashed potato in his face. And then his mum goes, oh dear, I do think he's rather a little bit tired, isn't he? And I'm like, is she seeing what I'm seeing? Is she living in the land of delusion? Or?
What was his upbringing like?
I don't really know. I know his dad, like, left his mum for their secondary school teacher. It was quite a religious upbringing. I don't think his dad was solidly in his life after he was 12. His mum suffered really bad depression. So, and she was always having kind of breakdowns and stuff as well. So I don't think he had the easiest of upbringings. I think he had quite, like, probably financially not too bad, but probably a little bit unstable. Right. So...
What about the night he was running around in the back garden with your belongings?
Yeah.
What items did he have?
He just hoard everything. I'd go for something, it'd be gone, and it'd either be in the garage, or he'd be wearing it.
Can I read this?
Go on.
Then he would be running around the back garden, high as a kite, with the lead to a butt plug trailing behind him.
It's quite funny in hindsight, if you imagine this guy, and he wasn't that slim by this point either, so I won't put that there. He wasn't that slim by this point, he had like a bit of belly on him and stuff, so he had like these... Am I allowed to move?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, these fishnet tights that he'd managed to get on somehow, but he didn't just like pull them up to that. He pulled them right up to here, like all the way up, you know, like with the old fashioned underpants.
Simon Cowell.
And then nothing on underneath. So that is not really an attractive sight, isn't it? You don't want to see through fishnets. It's all dangling and swinging away in the breeze. And then there's just this lead coming down and a little remote control pack with a little button where you can make it go faster or slower.
What, the vibrations?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And this isn't even a weekend.
No, it's a Monday evening.
Yeah. And by this point, I'm so desensitised, I just open the door. Jay's at it again. Just close the door.
Leave him do it.
Just leave him do it. I've just washed my hands of the whole, like, ordeal by this point.
He was spiking your food and drinks.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I didn't really realise. I always thought he was helping me because he'd go, oh, have a paracetamol, have this. Oh, you look a bit, you're not yourself today. You've been really snappy. You're being really irritable with me. Have this, have an extra antidepressant. So and then we went round to my friend Vicky's, like apparently he was putting stuff in my food and she was like, you can't do that. That's, you know, you're spiking her. And he's like, no, it's fine. It keeps her calm. It keeps her happy. So yeah, but I think in his head, he was so deluded. He thought he was doing something that was good for me. I don't think it was even Machiavellian. He was just so screwed up in the brain. That's how he saw it. And justified it to himself. So and that's why it was so harder for me to see clearly what was going on, because often I'd had whatever without even knowing it, like extra antidepressants and things. So
just when you think things are getting really weird, viewer, this is where a character called Latex Trooper enters the story.
I read this morning and honestly my mind was like, right, Latex Trooper.
Latex was awesome. He's such a fun guy.
How did you meet Latex? What was his story?
So in the beginning, he used to book me to just like beat him up really badly. He had a massive fetish for loads of pain. Then he got into...
When you say beat him up badly, could you describe the actual act? You mean like punch him in the face?
No.
Kick him in the balls?
No. So it would be... It started off with a bit of like spanking.
Yeah.
But I think that was probably... The first session was probably quite mild. And then they get a bit addicted sometimes. And they're like, oh, what can I try next? So... So the next time it was kind of like he went, I've been looking on Love Honey at all these different things. So we ordered this big box of things, and the point of the session was just work our way through them. I think he bought some spanking paddles, some whips, some canes. So we, and I was like, in the beginning, I was quite, you know, quite gentle. And I think this guy can't take this. Anyway, this guy can take a lot. This guy loves pain. So it got to the point where we were like almost every week I was seeing him. Sometimes I'd do an overnight. So I'd do the caning, strap on him.
Keep him tied up all night?
No, I didn't. No, I made him sleep downstairs and I had his bed.
On the floor?
Yeah, on the sofa. Well, I let him sleep on the sofa.
Oh, that's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I know, it's quite sweet of me to let him actually have a sofa instead of a floor. But, yeah, so
how did he get the name Latex? Latex tube for them?
So he wanted to have a...
What a name!
Latex tube. He wanted to have like a pseudo-name. Right, and we would been watching like a lot of Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff. So I said, Stormtrooper was really good. What about something along the lines of Storm or Trooper, but with maybe a bit double barreledy? And then we just come up with put latex in front of Trooper. But yeah, he was awesome.
So he moved in, did he?
He did. So after a while...
With you and Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What were they like together?
To start with, it was brilliant.
Yeah?
Like
buddies.
Yeah, like, he was really geeky and a massive film buff, so, and into computers and stuff. So I would like, play computer games with him, watch movies. Like, Jay was happy to be left to his own devices, so it was great for him, because I wasn't going, what are you doing now? Stop doing that! Get that butt plug out! Take my new shirts off! Yeah, so it was good for him because he got to be cut a little bit of slack. I had a bit of like normal company. Normal. Kind of normal. So it started off really, really well. And then like, I'd use him for filming and stuff as well. But then towards the end, they kind of started falling out.
When you say using him for filming, so earlier you said how Jay would come in and spank him if it was requested by somebody.
Yeah.
So does Latex Trooper come in and participate in things on webcam?
Yeah, he was like massively submissive, so he'd always like want to be a slave. And
how old is he?
Younger than me, so how old was he? In his 20s at the time. Late 20s, he's about 28, something like that.
Did you have to pull Jay and Latex Trooper in at the same time to do anything?
Yes, this is it, yes. Yeah, yes, you are.
Charles is going to like that one.
what was that then?
So basically, I said to Jay, do you know what, I just don't think you're pulling your weight here. It's about time you had a little bit of hanky-panky with him while I watch, isn't it? And he said, oh, okay then. I wasn't expecting that. So,
on camera.
Yeah. So the plan was to make...
Was that his first experience with another man?
We said it was. It was a bit of a natural, so... It's a bit of a natural!
So what happened?
So I'm in a strap. I'm in like lingerie and a strap on, like with whip in the hand, being the mistress. Latex Trooper's on the bed, and like this is. I'll just set the scene. Right,
that just sets you off every time you hear his name. I actually laughed out loud when I read this morning. I was going through it, flicking it through on my phone. I was like, no, that can't be real.
It's all real. Well.
So you've got the strap on.
Yeah.
Latex is on the bed.
Yeah. So we've got this pink plastic sheet on the bed in case of spillages. So Jay's put on this wind machine, right, because he gets a bit hot and sweaty, right, the whole of the like pink sheet is just going up in the air. Latex Trooper's just like having this wank marathon.
Is he naked then?
He's naked.
And is Jay naked?
Jay's naked.
Not got anything unusual.
Jay was upstairs to start with getting into his costume,
So what was his costume?
Yeah, to start with, we're just...
Sorry, I'm crying with laughter now. All right. Right. Composure. Right.
It sounds so mad when I say it back. This is normal for me at the time. Yeah. It's like normal life, you know? So, yeah, he's on the bed. Jay's upstairs getting into his costume. He's just, like, doing this. Like, it's quite normal to start. Oh, mistress, spank me, all this kind of stuff. Like, later on, he's, like, a bit glassy-eyed. And, you know, there's lots of alcohol on the go. I think I'm at the three glasses of wine point where I don't really care, but I'm quite happy and, like, can still talk and stuff. So I think I'm giving the strap, and then I'm getting an ice pop and making him, like, take the ice pop in his bottom whilst we're waiting for Jay, and
oh, but what? Go back. Ice pop in his bottom.
In his bottom.
What, like those, you take the wrapper off?
Yeah, that's it.
Right, so it melts.
We didn't take the wrapper off. We just left the wrapper on.
In his bum, and it just melts in his bum.
Yeah. And the next minute, he's just like.
Oh, Alex used to pop ice cubes up his bum for a party trick. It wasn't much of a party trick, but yeah,
it just melts, don't they? Yeah.
Crazy.
But yeah, I think he was quite enjoying it because it was really hot in the room. And then the next minute, he's just like still knocking one out on the bed, but sucking on this ice box. Life depends on it. He's going, put this really serious face on. And I just think maybe it's the tension because we're like waiting to see what Jay's going to do. So he comes in.
Jay's not even entered the scene yet. I can't wait to hear what Jay's dressed like.
He's gone through one of my clothing boxes and he's got on this fishnet long sleeve top. He's mesh pants with like little chains on, and then he's got this black wig. Bright red lipstick and a pair of shades.
Oh man.
So can you imagine like the love child of Ozzy Osbourne and Cher?
You must have been in quite some laughter. She can't breathe.
This is one of the weirdest. I've heard a lot of weird shit, but this is one of the weirdest shit.
So how did you keep a straight face during all this? Because we can't. Compose yourself.
Drink some water.
Oh,
fake laughter.
Not fake.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, we got accused of fake laughter on the tug of war one you watched.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was a fake laughter.
I didn't think it was fake at all.
Oh, yeah, well,
people like, they always find something to pick on, don't
trolls.
They?
Trolls.
Yeah.
They are alive because of us. They breathe the oxygen, they breathe. go on.
Right. So,
what happens next?
Jay walks in. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just walking in and the hair's like all out here, like he's tried to make himself a bit rock chick or something. Holding your nose.
Does that work?
It's not so snoring.
It wasn't even the outfit that was the weirdest thing, it was the accent. He just adopted like this weird Quentin Crisp type accent. Like, oh, hello!
He
was just like, what's this? So I thought I was going to have to sort of coax them into it. Like, have you seen American Pie?
Yes.
But ooh, you two kids, real. I thought it was going to be like that kind of no. I think he's like straight in there, jumped on the bed. What am I sucking, man? I'm like, well, it looks like you're sucking your dick, doesn't it? So he was just straight in there. So that goes on for a little while, and I'm telling them what to sort of
Did you feel left out at this point?
No, I'm like a little bit wind up, and I'm thinking, oh, this is quite easy. So yeah, it was an easy night for me, really. Yeah. And then at some point the camera is just left running and all this madness is going on. And then, like, no one's in the screen apart from late Stupor, who's just knocking one out, and it's like he's got this stare, glassy-eyed stare, doing this. The sheet's coming up round him. And then you can hear, like, Jay in the background just pick up the phone and start ordering a Chinese meal. I watched it back, honestly. I just couldn't believe this, that we'd filmed this bit of footage, was the weirdest
thing. Did you put it online?
It's online, yeah.
Did it get many hits? Or?
Not as many as I thought, actually. I thought it would have sold a bit more.
How can we view this?
I'll send you a copy.
Yes!
You weren't there filming this, were you, James?
No.
Oh my god!
That is awesome. I've gone completely off track.
Without
latex. That's a distraction. So,
because latex gets kicked out of the house.
Yeah, bless him.
What was the final straw?
Well, I didn't. What, James or latex?
Which? Latex. Who went first?
Latex went first. Okay. I didn't kick him out. I didn't actually want him to go, even though we were falling out at the time a little bit.
You and latex?
Yeah, we were falling out. Only because, like, so he kept. He started taking latex's stuff to hoard then. And it was be in the garage, and like, he'd have his parents come around on a Sunday morning for a cup of tea, and there'd just be like, these dildos and stuff everywhere. So
Latex's parents didn't have a clue?
No. So it was a rush to kind of like try and make it as normal as possible. And so those two just were always falling out. And then sometimes he'd come home from work and his bedroom door would slam, and I'd joke, it was like having a teenager, isn't it? But I think he was just so like with the mad house. It just like it got like one day, like I was in my room webcamming with a whip. Latex wasn't in his room with a gimp mask on because he was bisexual. I don't know if you picked that up from the last story. Yeah, he was bi, so he was camming with male clients as well. I think like dildos and stuff. And then Jay was downstairs, probably with a butt plug, running around, and he had this thing for like nuts and bolts and screws. So he'd get a box of those, and they'd be all over the floor. And he'd be, why have you put those on the floor? Pick up the bolts. And so I'd end up picking them up. I'd go out the room, come back in, they'd be like everywhere again. So it was a cross between all those dildos and sex toys everywhere, and just junk. So those two would kind of like fall out over like mess and things like that. So he just decided for his sanity, which was probably like the right decision for him, that he was going to get a little place on his own. So, and I was sad to see him go to bed. We used to watch True Blood and play Raving Ravids on the, what was it back then there? Which was an Xbox or something?
Nintendo 64?
What, one of those anyway, one of them. Used to play games. So it was quite sad waving goodbye to. Yeah, and he was a good little sub as well. Yeah. With his madness.
That's up with the Heavy D story, isn't it? The Tug of War Heavy D story.
Yeah.
Was it Heavy D's name?
Heavy D, wasn't it?
With a really bizarre character. Who, it was a very long story, but we were just laughing our asses off.
Oh, yeah. That's up
there. It's in Tug of War Part 3. It's in Tug of War Part 3.
Yeah. It was the first one I saw, wasn't it?
That was Tug of War Part 3 with me in.
That was Part 2, wasn't it? The first one with you was Part 2. That's the only one that's out there right now.
Oh, okay.
Part 3 and 4 isn't out. Yeah.
I will keep my eyes peeled.
Yeah. We're gonna have about 20 podcasts ready to come out soon. Wow. Well, you've been about 10 that have, almost 10 that have. Ready to come out. Yeah. All right, anyway, we're getting off a sidetrack here. All right, so Latex Trooper moves out.
Yeah.
Do you keep anything going with Latex Trooper at his new location?
Yeah, I did go around. So, like, to start with, it was a little bit like I felt like he was going to fall out with me. And then on the last night, I'm like, oh, please don't be like this. Can we have a hug? And then he just started crying, like threw his arms around me and went, I don't really hate you. You're my friend. And so we kept in touch. And he was quite excited to show me his new pad and stuff. And it was lovely. Yeah. So I think he was just like really happy to have a little corner of sanity in the world and get, you know, things back on track. But yeah, we kind of carried it on. And actually, we have cammed up till fairly recently. But I had to tell him, like, to knock it on the head for a while because I think it was affecting his mental health. So just some of the stuff he was asking to do was really extreme. And then he'd get upset afterwards. I said, you need to give it a break
for
a while.
What was he asking for?
Just things like mild stuff to start with. But then he'd, like, write a list of 10 things and he'd want to, like, be forced to throw up and eat it again. And it's just going a bit too far. If you've got mental health problems, it's just going to exacerbate them. And, you know, it's not healthy to get into that mindset where he's punishing himself to get high and to get that mental release. But then he's feeling the guilt because some people can just do fetish and BDSM and not care. And it's a release for them. And it, like one of my slaves, he says to me, it makes me a better person. I am a better, you know, a better this and a better that, and it mellows me out. And then other people, they just drop, and the next day they are, they're just, they hate themselves. It's that sense of shame is so enveloping and overwhelming, they can't cope. And people like that should not be doing extreme kink, I don't think.
Do you feel like because these guys are coming to you, that you're saving somewhat marriages? So, because imagine them having to go to their wives or partners with those sort of requests would probably end up a lot of the cases in divorce. So,
I think saving marriages is a bit of a strong claim. Therapist. I would never like to claim to be doing that. I would say, yeah, sometimes the wives do send their husbands to me.
Okay.
I think that I'm going to be realistic and honest about this. I'm sure there are some married guys that probably come and get whipped that haven't told their wives as well. A lot of them want someone to talk to as well. So they've got no one that they can speak to their fetish about. So they just want to kind of be listened to. And they don't even necessarily always want to be advised. They just want to know that there's someone there that understands what they're going through.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say saving marriages, but I would say that it does provide an outlet for certain people.
Have you ever had an angry wife approach you?
Yeah, I did once. Yeah, I had not in person and just by text. I think she'd gone through the phone and discovered some text messages. The irony of it is her fella hadn't even been to see me, just been texting. I don't think I'd ever even like booked him in or anything. She was going, well, what do you do? Do you have sex with him? No. Do you do this? No. Well, what do you do? I said, explain what I did. Sure. Well, what would he have been coming for then? Are you sure he hasn't been to see you? I don't believe you. What would he be coming for? I'm like, I don't know. He could have been coming for spanking, a pegging, bondage. Who knows? So it just got a little bit silly in the end because I think most people just realise, you know, it's not an issue between the provider. It's an issue between her and her husband, isn't it? That's who need to sit down and really work it out. So I think I just said in the end that you need to talk to your husband about this. It's not helping just running through this with me.
But
otherwise, yeah, I think it's quite different, isn't it? If someone's got a kink, I think a lot of wives probably turn a blind eye as well. Like if they know,
they'd rather not do that.
Exactly. They don't want to do it themselves. So sometimes the husband is like, they said to his wife, will you do this to me? And she's going, oh god no, go and see a dominatrix. So I mean, it's better than them having an affair, isn't it, I suppose? So,
exactly.
Yeah, they go and get their little kink and there's like no emotional attachment or anything. It's just purely a service. So this guy that comes, he's married, happily married, he comes and gets like 400 strokes for the cane whilst wearing rubber panties. Then he goes home.
Happy days. Have you ever had an emotional attachment with a client?
No, I've got friendships with my clients. I know a lot of people have to have that complete separation, don't they? But I've actually got some subs that I would say if like they've been absolutely angels to me. They've helped me through like some tough times and I would class them as friends. So, like, one of my subs is called Sassy Steph.
Sorry?
Sassy Steph.
Sassy Steph.
Sassy Steph, yeah.
So he's a bit...
Yeah.
Sassy.
Sassy. Yeah, exactly. So, like, Sassy came to me as Dave. And was just so shy. And I remember being like that. I remember being so shy. I literally would have to, like, wait for permission to speak before I'd, like, breathe a word. And I could just see a bit of my old self in Steph. So the first time I was like, well, tell me a bit about yourself and what do you think you'd like to try today? And I think the first thing she said, well, I wouldn't mind a bit of trying a pair of knickers on and a bit of makeup. So I just put her in knickers, did her makeup. We just chatted for like an hour. She chatted about stuff while I did her makeup. And she loved it. And then, like, from there, she just become like such a confident person. One day we just went on a little shopping trip, and we walked past MAC, you know, the makeup shop.
I love MAC.
And there were people in there having makeovers. She went, oh, I've always dreamed of going in there and having a makeover. I went, that's it, we're going in. So I dragged her in, and there was, luckily, like, the first makeup artist that come over happened to be a transsexual. So I thought, oh, this is perfect. You know, they're going to get on like a house on fire, and she's going to feel really comfortable and relaxed and just love it. So yeah, I'd like count her on my list of really good friends, people that I would just go out with socially as well and go and have a bit of lunch or something, because she's a real cool person.
So how long did you last with Jay once Latex Trooper moved out?
I can't remember exactly, but it was less than a year, because it just escalated. And I think like I'd forgotten how bad he was, because like one night I had Latex Trooper to bitch to, we get what he's done now. And I think the other thing was just the fact that he couldn't blame all of this stuff that was happening on Latex. So for example, you go, oh no, it was him that did that, he put that stuff in the garage. Well, how come it's still piling up in there when he's not here? So I think there was talk of us at one point moving down to Bristol to be close to my family. And then his mum went, well, why can't you come close to our family? It's like, well, because one, I'm paying all the rent and everything. And two, we've not really, to be fair, we hadn't had any support from that side of the family. So I was just like, no, I'm not going to do that and keep bending over backwards to please people. And then, like, from there, I think I had, like, one thing from him, one thing from his mum, and I was just like, no. And to be fair, there's a lady, I don't want to use her real name, so I'm going to call her...
Karen.
No. think of a name.
Right.
Put you under pressure now. Because I'm going to pop out and say a real name otherwise.
Jen. Just call Jen.
Jen. Okay, so... Right. That's going to be confusing. Gemma. So Gemma was a catalyst because she was quite bossy.
Sounds like me.
She was crazy bossy. Like, she had a stroke and she smoked loads of weed as well. So she'd kind of go a bit, she'd get paranoid. She said someone was breaking into her house every night and cutting her hair off. Then she accused one of my friends of like raping her dog and getting it pregnant, bizarrely. So a little bit crazy, but actually, I think you meet...
we won't call her Jen.
I think you just... I think you just meet everyone for a reason, don't you? And I think the reason I met her, she was just like, what has that boyfriend of yours done now? Oh, Jay, what are you doing? Stop going and taking her money. He's just been in there and taken your money again. So basically, every time he did something and she was there, she grasped him up. And I come to realise this stuff is not actually what you accept. Because I had no role model of what, you know, like a guy should be like as a child. Because like, I love my dad to bits, but he wasn't really a good husband or a good dad. So because I hadn't had that role model, and so I'm like, oh, okay, so... It's not just me then, I'm not the bitch, this stuff isn't acceptable. So that feeling just grew stronger and stronger over time until I just got to the point where I was like, yeah, you need to go. So, yeah, never look back.
But then there's the sadness of what happens with your dad.
Yeah. So that was sad because it's funny because on the Sunday night, he couldn't fly because of his health. So we would go, we'd go on a cruise. It'd be great. We'd go to like San Francisco and stuff. And it was only a few days later, he went into hospital and he died of, it was sepsis, but he had like diverticulosis. So I mean, we don't know if there was a tumour there, or the thing is, for my dad as well, he liked to drink, right? He used to smoke loads. He used to call the fags his little white friends. And he was gutted after he had to give those up. So he still kind of drank a bit, and then he'd just eat anything in sight when he was drunk, like he'd eat dog chocolates. One time I saw him trying to put the remote control into his mouth as well. So another time my mum's growing these little seedlings on the windowsill when he ate all those as well. I'm like, oh, so you don't know if he put something in his mouth or, well, I don't know what happened, but yeah, he passed away. So like probably the first year I was just like, you know, I don't know if it was even a person. I was just this shell, just trying to exist and cope with what happened. Because he was crap dad, but I did love him to bits. He was so charismatic as well. Like, we would just waltz in here. We would, like, you know, like he could tell a story, and he was the best storyteller. He was so funny.
Is that where you got it from?
Well, yeah. I don't think I am.
Oh, you're great. Yes.
He played the harmonica as well. He could, like, we'd do Name That Tune. But what's this in three? Name it in three. And if you didn't know, you'd be like, oh, I'm so disappointed in you. I thought you were a bit more cultured than that. Oh, we had such a laugh. Yeah, you see, it's, yeah, so I really, really missed him. And I think I did go on a little bit of a downward trajectory after that, because I'd lost the home, some of my cats. The ex, which I didn't really care about, but it was still a bit of a shock. My dad moved back into the parental home, which, like, that's always feels a bit defeatist, doesn't it? So yeah, I just think it took me a while to sort of recover from that, really. And that's probably how I ended up sort of being ensnared by the Machiavellian, the next Machiavellian ex that sort of come along.
Who was that?
Manos,
evil Manos.
Is that a Greek name?
I wouldn't like to say.
Okay.
You could be right and you could be wrong.
Well, you say here it's the worst mistake of your life.
It was, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because I kind of thought, well, maybe he wanted to build this business and stuff. So I thought maybe this guy's got his head a bit more, like, switched on. You know, I can see he's trying to build something. But he was just really good at delegating. Go, you do this for me, you do that. That was his skill, basically. He didn't actually do any work himself. So, yeah, it just got really abusive and, like, mostly financial and emotional, like taking my money off me, extorting money out of me.
How did you meet him?
So I was using his place, renting it, like, he had a spare room to like, see slaves, basically.
And how did you meet him?
So I think it was through one of my friends called Saskia. She was going to go and use his place as a venue.
So he's running a dungeon?
Yeah, effectively. Right. But yeah, he had escorts in there as well. He had, like, all kinds of different people coming and going. It was like a madhouse again. So I've gone from one unstable environment to another. So that's why I had to do a lot of work on myself and stop seeing, like, dangerous excitement and start seeing, like peace as tranquil and not boring. Because I think, like, probably there was a bit of me that probably saw a lot of the dramatic stuff as a bit exciting, which I don't understand that at all now, but at the time it kind of made sense. So.
Was he on drugs?
No, he wasn't day to day, but he would sometimes come home and he'd be high on coke or something, and then that was when he'd just be, and he was one of these people who has a kink. But he can't deal with the kinks. The next
what
day,
was his kink?
He liked putting on my clothes, like going, oh, I'm a slut, look at me, I'm so slutty. And then he'd like have, if you've ever seen the Kenny Everett show?
Yes.
Yeah. So he'd do this, go, smoking, like, off his face, like that. And I'm like, it really creeped me out because I'm not against cross dressing, I've got to do it for work and everything, but just the sudden personality change. Was just so
when he'd had a line.
Bizarre. That was so, yeah. And it's also the fact that he obviously thought women are just complete and total sluts. This is what women are like, and I didn't like that. That in his brain, he obviously just saw women as slutty, and that's how he wanted to be. And he'd like look at himself in the mirror and go, "Do I look slutty? Do I look slutty?" Like that. So that was just. It was so yeah. I didn't have a problem with the fetish, but just like. The disrespect, just wearing my stuff without permission, using my toys without putting condoms
on. Get your stuff dirty.
Yeah, well, yeah, because yeah, in the business, if you're pegging someone, you put a condom over the toy, and then you use like a really strong antibacterial spray to clean them afterwards. So he just did put something in his backside.
If you're pegging someone, yeah. What exactly is pegging?
It's penetrating them with a strap-on dildo. Okay.
I thought it was attaching pegs to someone.
That's what I was thinking.
That's a common
misconception. Yeah. Pegging is having sex with them with a strap on.
That's right, yeah.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was fouling your instruments.
Fouling, yeah, that's a really good word.
I like
yeah,
that.
Exactly that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and then there was another time where, like, he'd asked me to do it, but then he'd start telling me I was doing it wrong. And I'm like, excuse me, I think I know what I'm doing. I mean, I do actually do this for, so that, like, was a bit annoying. And then, so he'd start just doing it on himself, and then he pooed on the bed as well, like this big
dirty protest.
Dirty poo just come out, and I'm like, you just shat yourself. So, like, of course, like, this guy's narcissistic as well. So, because I've, in his mind, oh, I think my nail's just fallen off.
All the excitement.
Sorry about that. So, thank you.
I'll word that if you want.
So in his mind, I've somehow degraded him by allowing him to carry out his fetishes. So it's kind of my fault. So, and then he's going, you're going to leave me. I might as well just kill myself. And I've not said anything, but it's like, what? Where's this come from? So it's going between him shouting at me and telling me I'm evil to I'm going to leave him like everyone else does. So there's all these like weird, and I did not know how to cope with any of this. It was just bizarre.
What was it like when he was waving knives around?
Pretty scary, to be honest, because it would always be pick up these sharp kitchen knives, or like big ones, not like a little bread knife. It'd be like a out of the stack on the side, and then go, you dirty little bitch, right? Do you know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to cut you up if you don't do exactly what I say. So I'd get upset and be like, don't ever pick up a knife to me, because if you fall over, that's going to go straight through me. And he'd be like, oh, you can't take a joke, can you? You can't take a joke. What's wrong with you? Where's your sense of humour? Why can't you see the fun side in life sometimes? It's like, what you're doing is wrong. You can't just threaten someone with a knife and they go, oh, it's a joke.
Right.
So, yeah, it was quite scary, but it then gaslighted me to be like, I was the bad one for reacting to him, like, pulling a knife on me, basically.
So how long were you there for in total?
So I was with him for about 4 years, and I think the last probably year and a half was trying to figure out how to leave.
Get out.
Like, I was just not brainwashed. I was in denial, I suppose, the first coming through grief, in denial, and thinking doing my old classic Kaz thing of I can fix them, I can mend them and make their poorly brains all better, which you can't fix anyone, they can only fix themselves, can't they?
Exactly.
So yeah, so that the first part, I think I was just in complete denial. And then it was just figuring out, like, how do I get away? Because they say, don't they, like, when a woman wants to leave an abusive relationship, it takes like 7 attempts or something like that, 7 tries.
Yeah.
And then, like, people say, oh, so, like, my mum will say, why didn't you just leave? And she'll say to me, oh, you know, if it would have been me, I would have just walked out sooner. I went, but you didn't, though, did you? Because you stayed with him until he died. So that's not fair. And a lot of people just think it's that easy that you can just walk out and walk away. But when you leave someone who's abusive, I don't know if you know much about this kind of thing, but it's, yeah, yeah, it's like the most dangerous time, isn't it? That's the, you always hear that's when women are most likely to get stabbed or strangulated or murdered in some way. So when you've got the guilt, you've got the shame attached as well, you've got the, hundreds of other things racing around your mind and at the back of your brain, are they going to turn up and do something as well? Are they going to kill themselves? Are they going to kill me? You know, you just...
So how did you finally get away?
So I plucked up the courage. I sent him away to his mum's for Christmas. He had his kid over. And his whole thing was like how much he missed his kid. And then when she got there, he just had no time for her whatsoever. He wouldn't even make her a sandwich. It was like, oh, Kaz, do this, Kaz, do that, Kaz. And she was a great kid. I thought she was brilliant, but he is her father. He should have been doing this stuff. And he was just being a bit creepy and weird as well. I don't want to say too much on air, but it was a bit creepy and weird. And I just thought, no, I had enough. So I finished with him By text, actually, I think it was.
Smooth.
Quite bad, but safer.
Given the circumstances,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. On the 31st of December, because I just thought, well, New Year's Eve, fresh start, New Year. Trash, kind of, sorry. Yeah, so just a fresh start and everything. So I took my mum, when I went back to the house, took my mum with me. My mum, he's scared of my mum. He said she's like a big, I think the word he used was battle axe. So,
nice fella.
Yeah, yeah, he was terrified of her because she just won't stand for any, because she was married to a man that was like for years. So she is like a, yeah, she's quite hardcore. She would have, if he'd have started anything, she would have probably knocked him out, I think. So I felt quite safe with my mum there, you know. So, and I knew, he kept saying to me, oh, I've got nowhere to go. Who's it? His mum's. I've got nowhere to go. Let me have somewhere to stay at least for a week or so. So I turned up with my mum, and I said, yeah, you can stay for the week, but my mum's staying here too. So she's going to share my bed. You can go in the back room. Anyway, 10 minutes later, he walks in the lounge. She's like, actually, I might go back to, London tonight.
Good.
So that worked out quite well, taking my scary mother with me.
And it was around this time you ramped up the BDSM.
It was. Yeah. Well, kind of before I split with him, I'd been really focusing because life was so unstable. I wanted some stability. And
for the viewers, could you please explain what BDSM is?
Yep. So BDSM,
what it stands for,
is bondage and sadomasochism. So that can be bondage, just tying up, tethering in different ways, can be chains or ropes. And then masochism is pain, like liking pain, and sadomasochism is giving pain or liking to give pain. So a dominatrix or a master will give pain to a submissive who enjoys pain. Now, it's not all about pain. That's actually a really common misconception. It's about power exchange and control.
Teasing.
So exactly, yeah. So a lot of mine, they might like dressing up, or they might just be into really mild stuff. But when you use the word BDSM, people always think it's going to be like really heavy duty caning all the time, 24/7, don't they? Mm. So, yeah, that's what.
What role play did that involve?
Which one?
What role play? Like headmistress, scientist.
Yeah. So there's the headmistress role play where they've been a very naughty boy and they must come to the headmistress office and receive their punishment. I tell you also,
I love the way you say that.
Bitchy boss as well. That's a
bitchy boss.
Bitchy boss.
Yeah. So
can you do that role play with Sean, perhaps?
Do a live reenactment here.
I'll tap the desk and tap my feet.
So he works for me. Let's create a scenario. So Sean, Sean works here. He's the cleans toilets, crappy job. And so he hasn't done his job properly. He comes in, so you need to call him in.
I've left some pubes on the rim of the toilet seat.
Right,
okay.
I'm just a tree.
And who are you?
I'm just a tree.
Oh, you're
just a tile.
Atwood.
Yes.
Atwood.
Yes.
Late again. Come into the room, please.
What have I done now?
Don't use that tone with me. Right. Are you going to take this seriously? Stop giggling. Right, so firstly,
sorry.
That deadline I asked you to meet, you've not completed it, have you? Why is it late?
I lost track of time.
Did you?
Yes. I won't let it happen again.
Do you know we've just lost a major contract?
No.
You're really good at this.
He's really good, yeah.
You're not going to fire me, boss, are you? I won't let it happen again.
Well, that depends. How far are you prepared to go to keep your job?
Well, if you're going to punish me, let's get on with it.
There he goes.
I've never done this before.
Natural.
Well, it's a shame you're not taking on more slaves anymore.
Oh, yeah, these pins as well. Why
the trolls?
Oh
my goodness, the trolls are going to be. We're giving them so much fodder today. The endless videos.
They're going to love it, aren't they?
They do. They do. We have to.
Very long.
We have to keep them alive, though. We're constantly feeding them things. Otherwise, they would die without
it's
us.
It's like a public service, isn't it?
Isn't
really?
It?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I love trolls.
Oh, sorry.
I love the trolls.
Do you? Yeah, do they entertain you?
Just the little pictures they make and everything.
Oh,
entertaining.
Wait, is that new one? Can I mention
it? Every YouTube video, no mention names. Oh. Every YouTube video has like a thumbnail, a poster on it. And they spend so much time making these creative pictures of us. We'll show you some afterwards.
What, are they insulting pictures? Or
yeah, it's a little bit insulting, a little bit funny, a little bit wild and crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
You have to show them to me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. We'll do that when we go for lunch.
I like, you know, you're getting somewhere in life, don't you, where people are actually like doing parodies
their hard,
and
sad tears into creating a video of you to be humorous. It's amazing.
Totally. It's totally cool.
Do you want a troll?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is evil scientist role play?
Wow. So, this is very much inspired because, like, you know, you get a lot of DOMs and they've all got their own individual things. So some are really serious, aren't they? And like, you disgust me, worm, get over my lap and I will beat you. So but my kind of thing was more like, I'm into films and stuff. So I'd look at all those different.
The sci-fi, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And Batman, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So have you done Batman, Catwoman?
I don't think I have.
Oh,
no,
she was one of my first wanks, Catwoman.
Oh, I can imagine.
her and Debbie Harry Blondie.
Oh, yeah, she was cool. Yeah. Very cool.
All right, yes. Evil scientist role play.
Yeah, so I would sort of take inspiration from those kind of movies. And they'd never come in and be like really like shouty and that, would they? They'd be sort of like almost like soothing and teasing with the voice just to lure you in, but then they'd unleash all like the evilness and stuff. So that was kind of like my inspirations that I took from Hollywood. And so the evil scientist would kind of be like in the lab coat with the glasses and just start with, I know you just, you know, you can't resist, can you? You want to give me the information. You're a good boy. You want to help me, don't you? And all this kind of thing. So they'd be like protesting quite weakly usually, but they'd be protesting. And so you'd go, well, if you don't tell me, I'm going to have to punish you, aren't I? So he'd like, get the surgical gloves on. They'd be like, select a little pinwheel with lots of spikes on, like lots of like theatrical
I've
showing
seen them.
The
they look like little pizza cutters.
They look way worse than they actually are.
Are they not painful?
Well, they would be if you really sort of put a lot of pressure on it.
Do you?
But it depends. It really depends
how much you like them.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, they can be quite pleasurable as well. Like if you run it up and down your arm, it can just be like a little tingle.
Well, that's nice.
So, yeah, it is, yeah. But, yeah, if you're pressing quite hard on the genitalia, it's probably not quite so nice.
On a pancaked scrotum, exactly. It would probably sever the skin.
Yes, I think it would, wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah. So it'd be like a colander then.
Ooh, what's this? So sometimes things got messy. I had a guy tied up who was doing poppers and he started retching, so I had to hold a bin over his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So he's come in and said, I want to do forced intox. Now, no such thing as forced intox, right? You don't make them take poppers. They love poppers. They want to do as many as possible. And as a mistress, it's kind of your role to not let them have as many as they want to do. So you're controlling it and just probably slowing them down, actually, in reality. You call it forced intox because, oh, you're being forced here. Poppers are legal, by the way. I'm talking about the legal variety, just for anyone watching.
For the feds.
Yeah, exactly. So these are completely legal. You can, I think you, there's a shop opposite Marks.
You can buy them in sex shops, can't you?
Yeah, sex shops. There's a shop in Reading opposite Marks's. They sell them as well. So, so the guy's like, yeah, I take them all the time. I'm really tolerant. I can take loads. So, well, this time I got him tied to the bed. I think I literally gave him like two little sniffs and he goes blue and starts retching. I'm like, not on the bed. I'm like looking around. I don't want him to vomit in the towel. I don't want him to vomit. I know, I'll get the bin. I got the bin like up to his face and then he threw up. Ooh. Like at most points in a session, if someone had felt so ill they were going to throw up, they generally go, do you know what? I know we're only not far into the session, but do you mind if we have just chat or I can go home? And this guy, I'm like, are you okay? Do you want to shower? He's like, no, let's just carry on. I'm like, no, you're going to go and wash your face and mouthwash at least, definitely.
Oh. Did it not make you want to retch?
Sometimes it can be a bit like that, yeah.
Have you got a story of that happening?
Yeah. I think because I can kind of deal with people being sick, because I've seen that quite a lot over the years, but it's the other end that just completely grosses me out.
What about that time in Salford?
Yeah, that was quite bad. That was very elaborate. I don't know how, like Pebble Dash. You see, like a council house that's been pebble dashed at the side. Well, this guy did that to our hotel wall, basically. Should I go into more detail?
Yes, yeah, please. Go. I'm confused right now. Pebble Dash, council houses. I'm lost at this point.
She's saying about stuff from the other end, and so it's a story about not from there.
But how does that cause a wall to be pebble dashed?
Sure, so that's
projectile poo. Are you saying?
Yeah. So there was
like when you projectile vomit.
Exactly.
You can projectile.
Apparently you can. Apparently, I didn't know this either.
I had food poisoning once, and I do recall, an eruption.
It was splattery.
Yeah. I answered the door. It was, I only said it for 4 or 5 days. I thought I was going to die. I answered the door, opened it, and I just threw up in someone's face, and I felt it coming out my bum, and I just...
Oh, no. So was it a shark?
Bless you.
What, it wasn't the what?
Shark. You know what a shark is?
What's a shark?
A wet fart.
A wet fart.
No, this was constant. Yeah. This was constant. If I wasn't close to the toilet, I was going to have an accident.
Yeah, that sounds like
I was hallucinating and everything. I thought I was going to die. I was literally crawling across the carpet.
Oh my God. Was that food poisoning?
Yeah, I was stupid enough to keep chicken tikka masala in my car in the Arizona desert and eat it when I got home. The temperature was almost 50 degrees that day.
You must have been pretty hungry.
Cooking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, lovely. Anyway,
that's going to give you a bit of a wibbly wobbly.
So pebble dashing.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you even in a position to be somewhere naked where you're going to projectile poo on a wall?
So you're in a hotel.
How does this happen?
Sounds like you've been at your curry, I think.
Could you take us through how it got to this point?
Yeah. I'll start at the beginning. So there was this festival stroke event called Sexhibition.
Wow.
Lots of little stands selling whips, loads of stuff.
Where is this?
Stage show. This was in up near Salford in Manchester.
Right.
So selling dildos, like a trade show, but for the sex industry, basically. So it's all very like proper and everything. And I was there with my friend Harley Sin, so who I'd been teaching to be a mistress. And this guy come up to us. He's like, "I've seen you on Twitter. I'm a massive fan of both of you. I love your work, blah, blah, blah." He went, "Will you be around tonight? Maybe I can come and see you." And we were like, "Well, I don't know. Are you a sub?" Am I a sub? Yes. So anyway, to cut a long story short, he phones us up about 6 o'clock in the evening. And he says, "I've been drinking. I'll be honest. I've had a lot to drink, but I'm okay. I mean, I'm a nice guy. I mean, you met me earlier. Is it okay if I still come round?" And I thought, you know, it's pretty upfront. It's no, yeah, that's fine. I don't normally see drunk people, but yeah. So the guy turns up, totally lovely, lovely, sweet guy. We did a bit of strap on, I think, pegging. Then he said, "Oh, I've never been fisted. Will you fist me?" So I went off and went and got the long gloves. She put hers on. I think
the long gloves.
Yeah. Oh, so like you wear gloves for fisting. Obviously, you don't want to put your hand in a bum, do you?
What, like surgical things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vet gloves.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, like rubber gloves to like protect your against contaminants.
Like when cows are giving birth and stuff. Is that
I've
seen this on TV.
So I stood there, cow gloves on.
I've got ridiculously long arms though, look. You've got quite short arms, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you probably wouldn't go up that far. I mean, I think this goes...
How far do you go up?
I think he was taking it to about, probably not in the wrist, probably about there.
Oh.
To be realistic. Because by the time you've done that... Not many people can stretch. When there's a few, they specialise in it, funnily enough. They're like, "Oh, mistress, I've learnt to take the biggest dildo now. Would you like to see?" So this guy wasn't taking that much, but he'd been drinking rum all day long. Plus, I think he brought a bottle to the hotel room and we had a glass of wine or something there. So I just had a feeling. You know when you get that sixth sense, like a intuition? Maybe I heard a rumbling or something, I don't know, and it was in my subconscious. So, like, she's one side, I'm the other. This got this guy's butt here, right? My hand was there, I pulled out, and then all of a sudden my intuition, this little voice in my head goes, step back. Step back, Kaz. I go, and it just goes, and hits the wall.
Oh, holy shit.
What's the cleanup situation there?
Well, I think there's a lot of mistresses out there that would have made him use his tongue, but I think...
I wasn't expecting that answer! Literally.
That would have just made me throw up as well. So yeah. I said, let's get some wet wipes to start it off, some spray, take it from there, and you made quite a good job of it, actually.
Didn't get a hotel bill.
No, we were lucky. We got away with it.
So, like, you look completely normal. You look.
What are you saying, Sean?
You look quite innocent and just like very, you're very polite and well spoken.
Thank you.
But all these lunatics have come in and out of your life.
Yeah.
Now, when I look back at my life and all these crazy people coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And when I was introspecting, I had to ask myself, there's a pattern here.
Yeah.
Is there something inside me that's like attracting this to happen? And have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because you don't just keep meeting narcissistic people just by accident, do you?
You don't keep meeting there's something, Jays and
exactly. There's something
latex troopers of the world for like decades of your life. There's something going on up
here. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. I used to see like peaceful as boring, dangerous excitement probably. And so I'd be drawn to these like really massively charismatic people that didn't take life seriously, but the flip side was they were fucking raving lunatics. Mm. So, and so I think that was a big problem for me, was just not recognising what a decent, normal person is and what a nut job is. And I think even if I saw it, I didn't really understand that that's just not acceptable. I think my self-esteem was probably quite low as well. Something that I've worked on majorly, read lots of self-help books, done a couple of psychology courses online on that Udemy as well, and just to figure out how, you know, what makes people do what they do and try and understand a bit of the psyche behind the behaviour. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So by now you've made your name as a Dom, quite a big name.
Yeah, I'd say so, in the UK.
And then Manos comes back on the scene. Right. Talk us through that.
So, I don't think if I hadn't probably lost my dad, I don't think I would have gone into another abusive relationship, but I was at a low.
So he came back in for round two?
No, it was only with him once.
Yeah.
No, it says Manos. I started by talking. Oh, it's the order. It's all gone completely. It's
I think it was getting quite.
Oh, good job you didn't go back. Carry on.
One interesting like little psychology thing I was thinking about. Well, a couple of things really is your relationships in your adult life are often formed by what you experience as a child. Right. So we end up adopting like these survival patterns as a child because they help us then and they're useful. Like, so for example, some of my things were I was a people pleaser and I'd say yes to stuff all the time, and end up doing stupid things just to like, you know, be popular or whatever. So that's something I knew was a big weakness for me. Because those patterns, survival patterns no longer serve me. I just don't need to do those things. They have no use to me. Another thing I read was I was reading a book on how to deal with difficult people and manage them, basically. Because
how's that go for you?
it was quite interesting. One of the things it said, this specific bit was talking about if you've got a customer and you work in retail, and it said, try standing in front of a mirror, and if someone's shouting at you and pointing and going, and you, blah, 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 they'll look at themselves in the mirror if you're stood in front of it, and they've become more self-aware. And if they're a normal person, most have become a bit ashamed and be, oh, I'm making a bit of a scene, and they start to back down. So I tried this on Manos when he was like in one of his rages, like his temper would be popping, his eyes would be like this, and you know, he'd just like a nut job. So I'd stand in front of the mirror and he could see himself. And then I saw him, I was expecting him to, I was hoping, like in the book, he'd back down. I could see him start watching himself, and like the excitement in his face, he was getting off at watching himself shout in the mirror. It was really bizarre. And I went, oh, they didn't cover that in the book.
Seriously, have you ever tried that?
Not recently.
But yeah, it's meant to work. It's meant to make people like see what they're doing and calm down. Bye. So, but he didn't
get off on it.
Yeah, he liked it, I think. He made him feel more powerful. He got more puffed up, like, because he's only short. He's only a few inches bigger than me. He's about 5, well, I'm 4'10". He was about 5'6". So, and he's trying to make himself bigger like that. Yeah, like looking at himself. I thought he was going to knock one out, to be honest.
So then you became conflicted because you was in an abusive relationship.
Yeah, very, yeah. Yeah, because like by day I'm going, well, I'm Mistress Kaz and you must do as I say. And my slaves are coming around going, oh, we adore you, we love you. And then like on the flip side, I've got this guy treating me like a piece of shit and telling me I'm worth nothing. So it's like, it's just such a contradiction. And like that, because I was this as well, it was even worse because I feel like I'm living a lie. Like, I was thinking, like, I can talk about it now, it's fine, because I feel like that's in my past. But I thought, do you know what, if my slaves could see, they wouldn't view me as a, they wouldn't respect me anymore. And actually, that turned out not to be true, because one of my subs, I got really close to him as a friend, not in any kind of romantic way, but in a friendship way. And he said, I know you're just not yourself. Do you want to come out for lunch? And I didn't really tell him a great deal. I just said, like, it's pretty bad at home. It's not really going too well. He said, yeah, I can tell. You look tired. You look drained. So what were we talking about again?
Yeah, so you were conflicted because in the daytime you're bossing people around.
That was it, yeah.
You're in an abusive relationship. Well, now the subs are coming to the rescue.
Yeah. And that's the thing, a lot of people slag off the scene. I remember watching one of your ladies and she was saying, oh, but I couldn't do that to them. But it's like, they like that. That's their kink. And I agree with what she's saying, but from my perspective, it's been completely different. And I don't feel as if I'm doing things to them that they don't want. And so, yeah, so I've had my slaves just through such a difficult time be really, really supportive as well. And I could count on them as friends, like the sub that took me for lunch. And then I had my sissy, as well. You know what a sissy is, right?
Someone sissy. You boss around.
Yeah. So
they sissy wear, Sean. Wear,
oh, they dress in women's clothes.
Dressing women's clothes. So my sissy as well would just like take me out for the, and that would get me in trouble as well because I wasn't allowed to drink. So I'd go out like for a session and then it would end in like, should we have a couple of gins? So like, and I'm really good at drunk texting. So you cannot tell from one of my texts that I'm pissed because I'll just keep working to perfect it. I'll sit there for an hour if I bloody have to. So I'd know that he wouldn't want me to drink. So I'd sit there writing this text and I'll get it right in a minute. So we keep texting. This text would be like word perfect. So he wouldn't have a clue that I was steaming drunk. So the time I got in, and because he didn't want me to drink, it was a bit like a red flag to a bull. So he'd open the door and I think one time I just fell in the doorway. So, but yeah, apart from the odd night like that, my slaves were just like really so supportive and lovely. So did you, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah. Did any of all your family and friends know about you doing this?
Yeah, I mean, they've known for years.
Yeah, so. And they're absolutely fine.
Well, no, I wouldn't say absolutely fine, no. I mean, they kind of make a bit of a joke about it and they they realise they don't really have any say in it. I mean, unless they want to start paying my bills, then they've got no say in it. But I think they've kind of sort of accepted it, but wouldn't be the favourite first choice for me to do. So, yeah, especially like, it's a strange one really, because like my mum goes, oh, whenever I see big knickers now, I think of you, right?
Big knickers.
Basically, and you might think, what you want about there? Well, I went shopping once with my mum and I saw this massive pair of knickers on. Now, I happen to have a couple of sissies that are quite large. And I just thought, oh, they'd be brilliant on my sissy. So I bought these big knickers. So every time my mum goes shopping, if she sees any cheap, she lets me know. She goes, oh, and so in Marks's, they've got some size 20s in the sale.
Pick them up for you.
So, yeah.
That's good of
her. Totally. So it's, you've kind of got a bit of an understanding there, I think, which is good.
And you studied up on narcissistic abuse.
I did. Yeah, I've done Well, I was in quite a few kind of like self-help narcissistic abuse groups, and it was like a sounding board to start with. I'd be like, so this has happened. Is this normal? And they'd be like, no, run, girl, run. This is not normal. This is so not normal. Get out of there. So, yeah, that was kind of useful. And then I've like followed all these different coaches as well. And you know, that also really helped me to see that, okay, whilst I have met those people and this bad thing's happened, at some point, some of the responsibility does lie with me because I've let that go on, I've accepted it. And also I keep like, well, not keep now, but I kept like falling for the same sort of behavioural traits and kind of letting it be okay. So yeah, I just found this so useful.
Who's the coaches you're following?
Sorry?
Which coaches are you following?
I can't remember their names now. I got them on Instagram, but there's a really good book called Inside the Minds of Angry and Controlling Men. Ooh. And it's by Lundy. So that's a great one to learn about kind of abusive men and controlling behaviours. I think there's one on Instagram I follow. It's actually a guy called, it can be both way around with abuse, can't it? It can be both ways. It's called Abuse Coach, I think. So that's quite a good one. But yeah, there's masses of them on Instagram.
So what's your social circle like now?
Deliberately small. I socialise a lot for work. Spend a lot of time on my sisters because we're really, really close. But really, I tend to spend most of my time working. I don't tend to sort of go out to bars and clubs, or it's just not something that's a priority to me at the moment.
How many appointments do you do a week? Or?
Well, it kind of depends. I'm sort of living back home with my mum, so a lot of it's online. So it's when I go away to tour, that's when I see my slaves.
So where do you tour?
There's a dungeon in Swindon. Sometimes I work out of an apartment and go up to Reading in November. So,
what are the dungeons like? Talk me through it when you walk in.
Yeah, so you walk it. Let me just think of the local one. So the local one, it's a converted nightclub. So you walk, it's quite normal, really. It's quite pretty with like white drapes, all stone walls, little fairy LED lights. Then you've got your dungeon room and they've blacked out the windows with black paint. There's a St. Andrew's cross in the first room, then a cage where you can pop your sub or your sissy in underneath and just taunt them through the bars. Then you probably know a lot about that, don't you?
Home sweet home.
They're pretty cozy.
So what sort of equipment do you have? Like, it's sort of 50 Shades of Grey hanging up on the wall, or is there machinery?
Yeah, it depends machinery. On the dungeon. Yeah, and how well equipped. I mean, some dungeons have like full-on sex machines and St. Andrew's crosses, and they're fully equipped, and then other dungeons.
What's a St. Andrew's cross?
So it's like, you know, Jesus Christ kind of what's the word?
Stigmata.
So a crucifix. Stigmata.
Kind of, but it's like...
No, I'm doing it.
Yeah, so like...
Like, oh, so what, they tied up?
Yeah. They tied up like that?
Yeah, we don't do the nails through the hands. It's just,
How long can they last like that?
Well, if they've not eaten, probably about 5 minutes. But
Jesus.
If they've had a decent meal, they can
So they've got to have a decent lunch before they come in?
Yeah, they can pass out otherwise.
Oh.
Yeah, because you've got your hands up, it affects your blood pressure. So you've got to be really careful with it.
And that gives them a sexual thrill?
Yeah, because they feel vulnerable. Like.
So they're up there naked?
Yeah, they're naked, yeah. So with, like, normal sex, if we're going to call it normal, I don't know if it is normal, like between vanilla. A man and a woman, vanilla sex, right?
Yeah.
So it's quite easy for a woman to feel overpowered and, the one, you know, because we're smaller, aren't we? And probably, not being sexist, a bit weaker. For a guy to get that same feeling, because, you know, some guys want to feel like that, you know, it's got to be a lot more extreme. You know, you can't just grab them by the throat and say, right, you do as I say. That sometimes they either want to feel as vulnerable as they can, so they want to be naked, tied up. And, I mean, there's this brilliant spanking bench in the dungeon. Have you seen one of those?
Spanking bench?
Yeah. Not seen one
not
of those?
Usual park bench.
What does that mean? What does a spanking bench look like?
So it's, I'm just trying to think to describe it. So you basically, this bit goes here. And then, so it goes up like that, like across, and then the legs go.
Oh, is it like one of those chairs you can get massages on?
Similar, but your bum's out.
So you get them for work to
like that.
Help your back when you're at the desk. And you've got to sit on them in a really weird angle. I used to have one.
It is a bit similar, but more bent over. So basically their bum is presented in the air. Then you can like strap them down to it, and that's the perfect spanking position.
So there's a hole in it, so the bum's exposed.
No, they're just bent over it.
Oh.
Yeah, they're just bent over it, basically. What were you picturing?
To spank the bum, you'd have to get in there, wouldn't you?
Like, you wouldn't go under, would you?
I don't know. I've never.
Get over. No.
So, none of this happened in Arizona?
So... What? I've written a book called Party Time, and I've, you know, my third wife in Arizona, we had a few things going on, a few little dungeon things. But not the level that you of your knowledge and experience.
What was it you said? You had a sex swing?
We had a sex swing.
Mm. Yeah.
The hardware store thing came into effect. We went and, like, got bigger, like, industrial change and more bolts with.
See, I know you weren't as innocent. You
padlocks! Padlocks!
Just taking it up a level there, padlocks.
You totally... I've learned a few things today.
So have you been to sort of sex parties, dom-themed sex parties?
Yeah, I've been to a few. I think people just tend to think that, you know, it's a mock with people in gimp masks running around, probably a bit like JJ with a butt plug out of his arse. They're actually a little bit more civilised than that, generally.
He tends like a nice to have, bar, a few drinks.
Yeah, that's right.
You walk slave
in,
on the lead.
Have a little chit-chat, exactly.
Does that actually go on?
Yeah, that goes on as well. There was this one guy, I went to an event called, nice little shout-out for them probably, Bitches Unleashed.
Bitches Unleashed.
Bitches Unleashed up in Manchester. And this guy walked down the stairs. I can't even remember. I'd had a few drinks. I can't remember if he had clothes on. All I remember is the writing all over his body saying things like, use me, I'm a trashy little bitch, do what you spank me, all this kind of stuff. So he was loving it because he was walking around. Every dom, you know, that walked by would be like, ooh, spank. So you do see stuff like that, but most of the play is restricted to certain areas.
Okay.
So, because you don't want to go straight into a bar and then just see someone with their bottom spread and like a being still smashed with a strap on, do you? It's not, you know, you just want to sit and enjoy your G&T. You don't want anything on display. So there tends to be separate little areas where people go off and do their thing, which is quite a nice dynamic, tends to work quite well. But yeah, they are quite fun, actually. When I went to that one, they had a slave race. So they tied, so say you're next to me, Jen,
right?
And your right ankle, if we're the slaves, our ankles get tied together with rope, right?
So I think you used to do them on like sports day, that
exactly.
Race of the parent and child race.
Yeah, yeah.
And what, you race the slaves?
Yeah, but they have to do tasks as well. So they've got to have two against two. So that team is
a relay
team.
Race.
Yeah, so they have to go and fetch something for the mistress. Come back, rub the foot for a minute or so, and do something else, and it's which team runs first. So it was a lot of activities and fun stuff, as well as it wasn't all like hardcore BDSM, it was a bit of a giggle and stuff, which I thought was
pretty. What was the name of this place?
Cool. It was called Bitches Unleashed in Bitches Unleashed. Manchester.
We're up there at the end of the month. That's not where you met James by any chance.
Bitches Unleashed. Like,
guess where we are?
How did you meet James?
Yeah,
Friends Barbecue.
Bollocks.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, this James.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Where did I meet you? Yeah. Did we get chatting online or email or something?
Yeah, email, and then we met in
Watford, I think, wasn't it?
Starbucks or somewhere?
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah, we sat in Starbucks having our little.
He didn't book an appointment then.
No.
But what he did do was make a video, which has got a lot of views. Let's plug that. What is the title of that video, James?
Interview with a Dominatrix.
And that's on what channel?
It's Vimeo and Amazon Prime as well.
Vimeo.
And, some of it's on YouTube, is it, as well?
A trailer's on YouTube.
Yeah. So, Interview with a Dominatrix on Vimeo and Prime.
Yeah.
Okay. People can watch the full stuff. So, where do you go from here, then, in your career?
Well, at the moment, I'm writing a screenplay with a producer, which is an adaptation of my book.
Is your book your personal story?
No, no. Ah.
Have you written your personal story?
I've written a first draft. And do you know what? Some of this stuff we've talked about today is kind of exclusive content to this show, because I've struggled with how much do I think you've got to be your authentic self, haven't you, and be honest. But I've just struggled with the book, and have I given away too much? Can I say that? And I keep like editing and then just coming back to it. So
how many words is it now?
That's about 100,000+, I think.
100 and how many?
About 100,000+.
Oh, I'd love to publish that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I can... Your story. We've sat here for 2.5 hours.
Is that how long
it's been so... fascinating. Really? Jen hasn't even demanded a break. Yeah. She's been so...
I always demand breaks.
Usually after an hour, I need a break.
honestly,
we have been riveted. You are a natural raconteur, perhaps inherited from your father. But yeah. That, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure the people feel exactly the same as us watching this. Are there any stories you've left out that you'd like to...
Was there any on that little bit of scrappy paper?
I was just going over it. I think we managed to get them.
I think we did them all, didn't we?
I think we did them in the general.
Plus, I can always save something for future.
Well, yes. Would you come back on for part two?
Absolutely. Definitely. Saving for future.
So, viewers, please let us know what you have thought about today's podcast and Latex Trooper in particular. I will be having lots of giggles. Two books out there on Amazon, Dreaming in the Dark, Sordid Secrets. So what are they about then?
So Sordid Secrets was originally published by a company called, let's not do the name, just a company. Yeah. And he said, write a short novella, see how it sells, and then go from there. So I just thought, you know, they would say, write about what you know, don't they? So I know domination. So this character was kind of like, not me, but I use my own personal experiences.
So a fictional version of your...
Fictional version of some of the things that's happened. Some of it imagined, some of it extreme and made up. And probably some of it wasn't too much of a stretch of the imagination as well. So it's about her and her lover, Zora. She's a mistress. And it's just kind of like a short story of this couple that come to... you know, become submissive slaves at her country manor where she's a dominatrix. And then, like, I kind of stopped working with my publisher because I didn't feel it was, like, the right dynamic for me. Lovely guy, but just wasn't working out. So I then self-published Sordid Secrets. And then from there, I thought, do you know what? I've absolutely got free rein now to do whatever the hell I like and what I want to do, because he was going, oh, don't put that in, and, you know, try and keep the cover really tame. So, you know, I think, like, with the second cover, I've got a chick on the front, like, massive boobs in lingerie over a plate of cocaine and a note. I've just made it as trashy as I possibly can, because I think we're a bit serious with the first one. We went, oh, have a lady come out of the car with just a little bit of knicker droppage, quite saucy, but you could read it on the tube. And I think, no, I want someone, like, on the tube with it under their newspaper. Like, I don't want anyone to see me with it. Because I just think covers are so important, aren't they?
That's the first thing people see, cover title.
Yeah.
And these days on Amazon, it's just a row of little thumbnails.
Exactly.
So your cover has got to stand out at that size.
Yeah, you've got to grab attention.
People don't understand that. Yeah. When they design covers and they put too many things on them and titles are too small to read.
Definitely.
At thumbnail size, yeah. But we will. I would love to take a look at what you've done on your life story, because that is absolutely, I mean, what we touched on today. I'm sure people are gripped and would love to read the full thing. Yeah,
you would be my guest. I'll send it over.
Please do. So, Kaz can also be supported on Twitter at KAZBXX. And does that link to your OnlyFans as well?
It does. Yeah, they can find my OnlyFans on there as well. So yeah, come say hello.
And if you want have a fetish about organic cotton, then you can go to Boomer and Jen. Jen's Organic Cotton Clothing Company. She's going to do a whole new line now. On what are these new ideas?
Oh, there's loads going on, but
the BDSM line.
Oh yes, the BDSM, organic BDSM or sustainable
fisting gloves.
Sustainable fisting gloves. Because you have to do a recycled polyester or something. But yeah, we can have a look into that.
So Jen's links are also in the description box, as is her Instagrams. And
we see all my fabulous photos.
If you stay tuned, you'll even see a trailer with people wearing the organic cotton clothing. Not the BDSM line yet, but we're going to work on that. Huge thank you to James for hooking us up with Kaz. And James's link, if you need a cameraman, don't be trying to poach him from us. He's down there as well. And your company, James, is called what?
Underground Films.
Underground Films. There's also a YouTube channel called Underground Films. Don't we have an Underground Films trailer by now?
Trailer for what? For Underground Films?
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, we should start an Underground Films trailer on the end of these as well. Yeah.
We could get Sean to redo the advert, send people to sleep.
So, let us know in the comments what you thought about this. It has been an absolute fun. There was a point there where I laughed so hard I couldn't even breathe. I love moments like that. It is the antidote to all of the BS and madness going on in the world. So yeah, huge thank you most of all to Kaz for coming down today. You're going to join us in a group hug?
Yeah. Oh.
Definitely. Yes. Cheers. Oh, well done.
Thank you. Oh my God, that was brilliant. Amazing.
Yeah, you as well.
Wow.
Here at Boomer and Jen, we offer a wide range of organic or recycled clothing. We all know our planet is important. We only have this one. So it's vital that we all work together to slow down and reverse the changes to the environment. Whilst we all know that big industry are having a significant effect on pollution, here at Boomer and Jen, we believe that if we all make small changes, we can do our part. Fast fashion causes detrimental effects to the planet. Not only is nearly 20% of global wastewater produced by the fast fashion industry, but there is a considerable amount of fast fashion ending up in landfill. So let's move away from fast fashion items that are only worn once or twice and start wearing extremely comfortable, durable and environmentally friendly clothing and ethical jewellery. Boomer and Jen was founded in a quiet town in Devon in 2018. It has now gone from strength to strength as the world is becoming more aware of the current climate situation, helping our customers to buy sustainable, quality clothing. All of our products are fair trade and registered with the Global Organic Textiles Standard Association. Check us out on organic cotton clothing.co.uk.